thing is incredible!
Welcome to the party, pal!
Alright, well, if you heard that sound, I'm talking as if you're hearing the intro, like as if we could hear the intro. We didn't hear the intro. The intro's going to be added later, the intro music. Have you heard our intro? Pretty fucking dope, gotta be honest.
I haven't heard your podcast yet.
No, I know, I figured.
But I haven't listened to any podcasts ever, to be fair.
So. Ever?
I've listened to...
You listen to Bill Burr's.
No.
Really?
The only time I listened to Bill Burr's was when I went on an airboat with him, and I knew I was going to be mentioned in it, but he still didn't even mention my name. He said I was on an airboat with a comedian. I was like, oh, mother. We can curse on this, right?
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, so then I was just like, yeah. I literally listened to that.
And then that's it? And then after that, you just stopped?
I don't know. I'm done. I don't know. I'm not above it. I just feel like I haven't made the time to do it.
No, I didn't do a... I hadn't... I was telling him for years, I would listen to Bill's... we're on a first-name basis. Well, to be fair,
neither one of us have mentioned any names here yet today. We haven't introduced anybody. We don't know who we're talking to.
Well, we were doing the intro first. That's what I'm going to say. Let me do the intro. So, all right.
Bill Burr's here with us because apparently that's all we've talked about. That's who's here with us. All right,
so if you've heard that sound, this is I was going to try to be slick and be like, well, that sound means it's the start of the... Late to the Party podcast with Nary Signs. I am Nary Signs. This we're here with Mike Meckerdahl.
Hello.
And Forrest Shaw. Shaw is
hi.
He goes like the shyest.
So timid.
World. Like yeah. So like. Hey, hey.
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to hit the table or anything.
Yeah, you can't hit the table. Careful, so. You can't hit the table.
I had to put onions in his place last time.
A couple of times.
Too many tables. He's very aggressive and he pounds. The table when he gets angry.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just... We're not having it.
Yeah, so
he's a dick.
This is an angry...
He's a kiss-ass.
He's a total fucking kiss-ass, that guy.
Yeah.
He knows
who... I don't want to piss you off, so I'm not going to bang the table anymore. And he didn't for the most part, so...
No, he was all right.
Forrest Shaw, if you're new to the podcast, as I hope a lot of you are, and we had 250 visits... For last podcast,
yeah,
it probably would have been more had Mike not posted all three episodes of Oni at the same time.
I think that's what maybe people want to hear. You know, I think people want to hear the.
If you just, you know, like Lord of the Rings, they filmed it all together, but they didn't release them all. Like you watch whatever one, whatever part you want to watch. They gave people time to build up a. Hey, I want to. I'm just saying, we burned through 3 weeks of material.
Look, I didn't listen to the podcast, and I know Oni's funny, but. I wouldn't compare listening to Oni to the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, if you're going to compare this podcast to anything, it's got to be Lord of the Rings.
You don't release Oni all at once.
Yeah.
You have to release him in 3-year stages.
Yeah.
What?
I think you can release Oni all at once.
Lord of the Rings part 2 is kind of hard to watch.
Oni's a good friend of mine. He's very funny, but I think people are ready to handle
it. What's your favorite trilogy, movie trilogy?
Does it have to be a trilogy? Can there
I don't
be,
know.
Because nowadays
you're talking about like the, the saga of what with the Twilight movies?
Ice Age. Do they have three?
Really?
I've never even seen it.
I don't know. It doesn't have to be a trilogy.
I didn't think it was going to knock him out that hard. I think I like Lord of the Rings. I can always watch Lord of the Rings.
More than Star Wars? Like that was the big argument with my group of friends.
Star Wars, I've been watching it lately and it really sucks.
What?
Yeah, like it. Ugh. First of all, okay, it's not a trilogy.
Not anymore. They fucked it.
Whatever six are together. Whatever.
James Cameron
then,
raped it.
But
George Lucas.
George Lucas.
But
raped.
The
that's not like a 2-1-0. Like James Cameron.
James Cameron. Everyone's gonna be like, "Click, this guy fuck this know, guy."
I rewatched. They were on recently. Whatever. They're always on. And I was watching them, and I was just like, that Frito looking. What was that? That
bounty Greedo.
Greedo.
Yeah.
That looked like shit. That looked like the dinosaurs on the ride at Jurassic Park at Universal Studios that are all rubbery and like weird. I was just like, I don't even want
to
look
at it. I'm surprised to hear you say that because you're older than me. And I usually get into this argument with guys who are older than me. I say things like, they're like, oh, but at the time, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. At the time that I saw it, it sucked. I didn't like it. I liked part 3, episode 6, I guess it would be, whatever.
And the Jedi?
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi with the Ewoks?
See, that's the thing. I was born in 81. The movie came out like in 86. The Ewoks, to me, liked them.
You were a kid. That's the thing, is that...
It appealed to me.
Star Wars became about kids, though, at a certain point. Because the first one was about, you know... the guy fighting his dad, you know, fighting this evil and using the Force and stuff. And then it became a Muppet show, you know?
Let me just say, I said they suck. That's not the way I should have put it.
No, it's on record now.
I think
it's too late.
I still enjoy watching it because it still brings me back, like, you know, to my youth. And I was like, oh, I remember when I thought this, how excited this made me feel and gave me goosebumps. Now I watch it just kind of studying it, like, yeah, all right, well, that looks like shit.
Well,
see the string there? That's rubber.
That's mask. What happened with, like, the...
I don't know the sound effects when they bang on one of those wires or whatever. It stinks. And then I was watching and I was just like, why? I mean, I know he's the Jedi and he's very powerful, but why did that not seem weird to me before? That's just like this robotic kind of dead guy almost running the whole army. I was finding all the holes in it now, but look,
it's a movie about people fighting on spaceships, and you're like, hey, he's a robot. Why is he in charge? You have to suspend, like, the belief.
They're still breathing oxygen, apparently.
At some point,
so they're pretty close to what we're doing. But the whole army, for the time, like, I get that, but you still watch it, and...
Well, no,
you know what movie I like? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That still is funny now.
Yeah.
Well,
and I liked it at the time then, and I still like that now.
You know what it's missing? You know what it's missing, though, is the strings and the rubber mask.
Well, there is actually a scene when the two guys... steal the Ferrari and they're driving in it and they're jumping.
They jump in slow motion.
They're playing the Star Wars music right there. So
wow, you fucking pulled that together! Yeah. Awesome.
So many times I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and it's a drummer to Sonic Youth. I know that from those pop up bubble movies.
Is that coming back? The video pop up, the VH1 video pop up.
I don't know, man. They're desperate for viewership. Nobody watches that shit anymore.
I'll tell you that but I think Lord of the Rings will hold up for some time, technologically. Visually. And the story's great. Like, because usually in the trilogy, there's usually one that you're just like, I'm going to watch this anyways, because I like the other ones.
Part two, I can't. Part two is just...
The Two Towers?
Yeah. It's just...
See, you know the thing about that? I
got to watch it again.
I read the books. I'm not trying to get like...
you're one of those guys.
That was my favorite book of the ones I read. Actually, my favorite book was The Hobbit, which they're making into a movie, which I'm excited about. I saw some of the...
That was my favorite...
That looks good. I saw the dwarves.
That was my favorite cover, art cover for the book. That was...
I think it's going to be good.
He judges books by their covers.
I'll tell you, I saw Mission Impossible 4 last night. That was good.
Oh, really?
I'm down to see it.
How was that, man? I'm actually really good, really in to see that movie.
I've seen the first three, and I was just like, one was great. This one was
really.
Yeah.
I really like part three. I like part one and part three. Part two.
The John Woo one was kind of a joke.
A bit too much.
I just went into it like I could care less, but I was excited to see because I heard good things. It's really well done. The scene obviously on the building.
Yeah. Do you find yourself incredible. you choose where you spend your money at the movies now? Like, I won't go to see certain comedies, but I'll go see like a big action movie. Because it feels bigger on this, like it feels better to see it on a big screen.
As opposed to what you normally do is download them illegally, is what you're saying?
Allegedly. No, I mean, honestly, like, well, if something comes out on DVD or like, you know how like now everything comes out like on Netflix, like right away or DVD, like super quick, I'll wait like till something comes out. Like, but I'll go see Mission Impossible or I went to go see Captain America and Thor. Like, those are the big movies because I want to see it on a big fucking screen.
Yeah. I don't choose it like that.
Yeah. I don't choose it like that.
I just want to see.
Yeah.
Because it's... Yeah.
I saw Dinner for Schmucks, which...
In the theater.
Not that it was a good movie, because it wasn't.
You need surround sound for that.
However, I didn't choose it thinking to myself, I need surround sound to watch Steve Carell in a members-only jacket. I just said, it's a movie. I'm available. Let's go see a movie. It seems like it's good from the commercials. Lied to me, but
it wasn't good.
It wasn't great.
I liked that movie.
I liked the movie, but here's the thing: it was that classic. Every funny scene is in a commercials type of deal.
The trailer
and the trailer. And here's the other thing. Actually, I'm lying. There's one really funny part at the end that they don't show, but it has nothing to do with anything. But I just I don't know. It wasn't as great comedy you saw, like
Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids, yes, I saw, but I didn't see that in the movie theater.
That was regardless of what.
I saw it on my couch. My wife had seen it with all her friends, with all her bridesmaids.
Horrible Bosses was pretty funny. I thought
I haven't seen it yet. Everybody thought
Horrible Bosses had funny. Like, there's a difference between a movie that has funny moments and a movie that's funny, like the whole movie.
See, that what you just described, and I'm going to get, I know everybody listening to me is going to be like, what? That's how I feel about The Hangover. I think The Hangover has hilarious moments, but right. the movie itself, I'm like, it doesn't see, it just feels as if it's like one slapstick after another type of deal. And I'm not to say anything bad about slapstick. And the movie I thought was funny, but people praise it.
It like, was absurd. Like, it, the reason why, because no one had made like an R-rated comedy in a while. Like, that movie came out, there was...
Like, old school?
Well... Not to the level of...
Like the Wedding Crashers. Like, yeah. And what I mean, these are R-rated comedies.
Yeah, I guess Wedding Crashers would fall into that. But they just had the fucking Chinese... Like, it was just so absurd. Like, it just had all this... It was crazy. Like, Wedding Crashers had that structure. You know, like, they're these dudes. They go, this is their thing. And now this guy fucked up because he actually falls in love with that girl. The Hangover was just one crazy big fucking...
I like The Hangover in the sense that it didn't turn into Wedding Crashers and it didn't turn into your stereotypical romantic comedy where, you know, it starts off with all these shenanigans and then he finds that, you know, he finds a moral compass or he falls in love. And
we should talk about a movie that came out 8 years
ago. Yeah, let's
keep going back.
Yeah, let's just keep going. Well, and we started actually, off with Lord of the Rings.
You know what, Star Wars.
Though, I think we're moving forward.
Yeah.
I did see... Animal House recently when I was just sitting around.
Never seen it.
I went back and forth. I mean, I thought Animal House was hilarious when I first saw it. And then there was like a time where I was like, ah, this kind of feels dated and weird. And then I watched it and I'm like, no, this is still good. That's going to make me sound, but I mean, I think this was a month ago I watched it. And I watched, and I was just like, wow, it's actually shot well.
Right.
But kind of like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's
like put together
it's
well.
Not Lawrence of Arabia or something, but the camera shots are well done. The acting and just the situational thing.
That's a big thing. Like, a lot of the stuff now that comes out, like the reboots or all these nostalgia pictures, like all the stuff that they make TV shows, like they try to redo Charlie's Angels and
21 Jump Street's coming out.
I heard that. That's all right.
It looks to a certain extent. I'm tired of Jonah Hill. Is there anybody else?
Jonah Hill's going to be in 21 Jump Street?
Yes, yeah.
Tell us about 21 Jump Street.
And it's not even... I just saw the giant cardboard cutout last night when I was going to see my floor. It was Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum. Yeah. And it looks goofy, like they're gonna be like, hey, this was a show people liked, and then they're just gonna shit on it. That's what they do now.
Well,
but I'm like, okay, I get it. We're hipster, whatever. But
the new G.I. Joe with The Rock
and
Bruce Willis. I'm so they fucked me on the first one. Like the G.I. Joe remake that they made was garbage.
I don't think you know what made it bad, in my opinion, was the suits at the end of the movie. I think the movie was going well. And then it brought out those bionic suits that made them like. This is.
Can we get back to Jonah Hill? Okay.
Fuck that guy.
What?
Like a highly successful dude.
Yeah. Screw him for his success.
I'm not saying. But what has he ever been in? Superbad, I will say, was pretty good. I don't think it was as good as people. I was like,
I agree. I don't think it's as good as people.
But I'll say that was probably his best. Well, other than that, what has he been in where you're like, I want to see him again in something? And he's in everything. Like, every...
I heard it was good in Moneyball, but that's not a comedy.
I didn't see it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean,
but no one went to go see him. They went to go see Brad Pitt in Moneyball.
Exactly. You know? That's the thing. He's a good supporting actor. That's basically... Yeah. He's the buddy.
But there's actors...
Well, that's because he was fat.
Well, now that he's lost weight...
Yeah, now
that
he's lost weight...
It's almost kind of confusing. Because
when you're fat, you
He's even in that commercial...
For Modern Warfare?
I'm tired of him. Done anything.
Who would you want to replace him then? If you could pick somebody.
Me.
No, I don't care. Forrest is gonna Let's just replace him with three people so I don't have to look at the same person all the time that's only moderately talented.
But that's how those movies are. Like, it's just people who work with their buddies, you know, like the Vince Vaughn, you know, Owen Wilson.
Yeah, but I like Vince Vaughn though, and there's several roles where I'm like, he was great in that role
There's several roles where I look at, even if he does
four Christmases, I'm like, all right, he's allowed to do that because he did.
But Vince Vaughn plays the same guy. Well, Swingers was the
really?
Shit.
Really? He's still cashing in from Swingers, is he?
Of course he is.
Still,
I mean, he's awesome.
He's still
that
cashing
movie's
in.
Fucking amazing.
So wait, yeah. he can make
he's
a shitty movie.
He's still cashing in from Jurassic Park 2.
He can make a shitty movie.
The Cell.
He can make a shitty movie like...
Three, whatever one.
Four Christmases because of what he did in Swingers. Like, that's
see,
how
that, that
far
a,
back
that,
the bank
that was
goes.
That's an example I used.
All right, I'm just asking if that's
see,
how
see, that's far... how good he is. You're the only thing of one crappy movie he was in. Name another one.
Four Christmases and...
Yeah. I don't know.
Wedding Crashers, he was funny in.
And, I don't know. Running Crash is another one I think is overrated. Because of that, it turned into a chick flick. Not that I don't mind. Not that I like chick flicks, because I do like chick flicks. But
are we gonna talk about movies? On, but I just I saw Midnight in Paris. That was a Woody Allen movie. That was just
Owen Wilson.
That was funny. Yeah, that's a funny movie, and it's not.
Every time I see it,
there's nobody falling down with a dick in their ass or something. It's
a Woody Allen movie,
but it's. Yeah, but
I like
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he's never done that comedy.
I am not a huge Woody Allen fan at all. I went to go see the movie by myself in the middle afternoon. I don't know why. I was like,
you're only, a comic.
I was the only person. There was a lady. No, it was when I was in Miami. I wasn't even on the road. So I was,
but you're a comic. There was a lady.
Nothing to do.
It was me and a lady, and the opening credits start, and it's just scenes of Paris with music. I'm for. 5 minutes, I'd say, just really cool shots of all the cool stuff.
Like brought to you
and
by
she
the
just
Paris
got up and walked out. I'm like, that.
She's like, I'm done. She's like, I'm done.
This is not what I thought I was going to be. It was called Midnight in Paris in the title. She's like, I don't know why they keep showing.
Were there day shots?
They were day in.
They faded in the night.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. All
right.
The time lapse.
That's a funny movie, though. It wasn't at all what I thought it was. It's about, there's like time travel.
Yeah, I've seen the commercial.
I didn't know anything going into it. And it's very funny. Very good characters. That's a funny movie.
The commercial made me want to see it on demand.
And Woody Allen.
That's one of those movies that I will not pay to see in a theater because I could watch it on my TV at home. I mean,
yeah, but it's a good movie.
It's still fun. I mean, I still appreciate it.
And I have the same birthday. Yeah, that's what we share that.
Same birthday?
You share that? That's about it.
I have the same birthday as Woody Allen and Richard Pryor.
And you share the same love for Asian women as Woody Allen.
Well, I'm not young. I mean, they don't really have young Asian women at massage parlors, and that's the only ones that I remember.
Have you been to a massage parlor? I was talking to another comic about the massage parlors, and they were like, yeah, I go to them all the time. And I was so naive. I was like, they have them down here? Like, I really didn't know, because I live in a bubble of Miami. I was like, really, they have them? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, and it's ironically
You've
enough.
You've never seen amazing Asian massage across from the Hard Rock?
That's exactly what we're doing. Yeah. I'm literally driving him to the Hard Rock. We were driving up together for a show, and I'm pulling into the Hard Rock, and he goes, look at them right there. Like, this is literally as we're... I'm like, oh, they're here. And he goes, yeah. And this is like at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? We had Jeremy back from a show in Sarasota. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm pulling in, and I'm like, he goes, Neri, the fucking, it's open at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday. What does that tell you?
That amazing Asian massage parlor, they're practitioners of Oriental science. Like, that's what they do, right? It's just very traditional.
I have no fucking
idea. We should go.
I was very surprised. If it's an Asian massage parlor place, it's not for therapy.
I mean, it's open at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It sounds hand jobby
during the middle of the week.
Well, it could be open at 2 in the morning. People work out late, maybe pull a hammy.
That's exactly what happens. I love.
They're there for emergency hand pulls.
When you go to the gym at 2 o'clock in the morning, you pull a hamstring. You go to yourself.
I almost got an Asian massage for Christmas. I don't know if you guessed.
I read that tweet.
How did that work out?
Well, I don't even know. The girl that I'm dating. Okay. I just started working out and.
Which, by the way, you look like you've lost weight.
Thanks. I'm sure they'll be able to tell on the podcast.
No, I'm saying.
When
you go to forshaw.com, that's force at 2 R's.
.net.
.net, I'm sorry.
.com is owned by somebody that just has a blank GoDaddy page and won't sell it. I offered them money.
Bastard.
Yeah, it was horrible. I wanted to buy it, so you get these people to contact them, but first they assess how much the value of your page is worth, and mine was worth $85 for my domain name, not the page, my domain name. And so I was like, all right, I'll offer them $100 for it, and they would never respond it, and then they automatically renewed it. And I'm just saying, well. So I have foreshaw.net with 1 R and 2 R's. And I have foreshaw.com with 1 R, but I don't have foreshaw, which is 2 R's.
Your real name.
But yeah, my mom got me a personal trainer. I've been working out, and I've been eating better. And you know, I've lost weight already, but you know, I've got a long way to go. But so she was thinking that I would need a massage because you know I'm working out, I'm sore, whatever. And she's
the girl you're dating is like, oh yeah, he needs a massage because he's working out. So
yeah,
Christmas.
She's very naive to the way the world works.
Much so like Neri.
She literally
had no idea.
Well, I didn't know there was a massage parlor. At least she knew that they existed.
Yeah, she literally went into these places and was like seeing about getting me a gift certificate for it. Holy shit. And then she realized that she was going to get me a hand job for Christmas. Which I was like,
well, you were like, yeah.
Merry Christmas. You should have gotten me a hand. Like, I'm not against that at all. Ever. First of all, I can't even imagine. That would be awesome if they did give gift certificates. Like,
just, do
like,
they have gift
certificates? I don't know.
No, wait. Because they have gift certificates for tattoo parlors. I learned this year.
First of all, no women walk into those places. So they must have been thinking, like, we're going to have to get some guy out of the back. His wife is here right now.
She's going to shoot all of us.
and she was probably just bubbling. Just like, hey, so I want to get my boyfriend a massage. Just like, all right. Very progressive. So.
Down with that.
I didn't get that.
Get a couple's massage in that place.
I got golf balls instead. Which
you got shafted. Huh?
Hey,
see what it did?
Golf
see what it, huh? Fucking
I just started playing golf this year.
Did you?
Yeah, embrace my inner white guy.
So. I have. Wow.
That's really
there's a lot of puns involved with golf. There's balls. There's lots of balls.
Stroke.
I like playing golf. I hate everything else about it. I hate the people that are there. I hate the etiquette. I hate it's expensive, like everything, yeah, but man, hitting really the balls expensive. And like being out there is fun.
I just picture Kevin Costner in Tin Cup. That's what when I picture you golfing, I just picture you like, I hate the etiquette, I hate the people,
It's just, you know what it is it's like this, it's this fake world of people that are doing well, and I'm not doing well, so I shouldn't be there. But I end up, because everyone there has most of the people on a golf course
have
money
not,
or something. Yeah.
That's not for the everyman.
Yeah. I went to Orlando. I was doing shows in Orlando, and my friend took me to a course that is $100. They'll play 18 holes. He had passes to go. I mean, we didn't pay. It's called Shingle Creek. This really nice golf course. It's beautiful, you know? And everybody there was just like, I don't know what these people must see right through. You know, like there's just...
You just feel awkward.
We played... It was my friend. He's in construction, whatever. He got the pass away. And we played with this couple. And the guy was like a life insurance something. And she was like this high-level real estate. They were very nice. But he was like, hey, he's a comedian. He's going to be at Bonkers tonight making $25. So anyways, we couldn't even pay for... What is that? 4.5 holes of this golf course for that, but yeah. So,
4.5.
I like playing it, but it's kind of a crappy.
My best friend loves playing golf. This dude's taking me. He's played all his life. He was literally in the golf team in high school.
Those guys got so much pussy, I bet.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't even know there was a golf team in high school. Mind you, I knew him in high school.
Unless you were on it.
I knew him in high school. And I'm like, there's a golf team? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, who? Is there a tryouts? And he's like, no, you just got to show up. But you got to have your own like clubs or whatever.
Yeah, you got to know.
And the dude has... I've known him for like 19 years of my life.
And you had no idea?
He has taken me to the range once. Once, not even to the course. I wasn't even like playing a round of golf. It was like he took me to the range once.
You don't just go out to the course. You gotta learn how to hit a ball.
All right, first. I get it. I understand.
It's
but
not
you,
easy.
But when you're a best friend, you usually do that more than once in 19 years. That dude's never.
So I guess you're not best friends.
Yeah, I guess.
By the way, this.
Thumbs
this
down, by the way, if you're listening, Alex Garcia. Thumbs down, buddy.
By the way, this week's episode is brought to you by Shingle Creek Golf Resort in Orlando, Florida.
Shingle Creek, when you want to feel like a piece of shit.
Shingle Creek.
Like you don't give up.
Balls and puns.
If they were sponsoring the show, we'd have more than one headset or whatever.
I'm the only one fucking monitoring. Just talk, guys. I'm the only one listening.
Trust me, I'll let you know when you're spiking.
Don't fucking touch the table.
Yeah, so anyways.
But we were talking about earlier, like jobs. The jobs that you did before you started doing comedy. You said you there's like a weird assortment of like crap that you were doing.
You deciphered water.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about from one of my first jobs.
You worked at a frame store. You like list off the most. Like you have, I'm sure you got.
I
got
a lot of jobs for short periods of time, but then I'll just pretend like I'm an expert at them. Like I worked at a frame shop, and then when we walked in to Neri's house, I was like, guys, talk. I knew more about framing than you guys. So I could just start making stuff.
No,
I know.
Oh, yeah, you cut it down. Yeah. And you have the. Oh no, you don't have mats on. You don't have no matting, but you have the back of your foam core.
Yeah, I worked in a lot of restaurants, so more than anything. I cooked, I served, I was dishwasher, I was busboy.
Are you nice to
work at Chicken Kitchen?
Are you nice to
you work at Chicken Kitchen? I tell people all the time, like, I love Chicken Kitchen, especially in the last year that I've been trying to lose weight. And I think, I always tell people, if I were to open up a restaurant, if somebody would be like, here's, you know, $500,000, I would pick Chicken Kitchen. It's got to be the cheapest restaurant to open up. It's rice and chicken. Those are the two main ingredients.
There's a bunch of side dishes.
I understand, but the main ingredients. But the main ingredient that you're buying in bulk as a restaurant owner are rice and chicken, and those are the two cheapest ingredients on the planet to buy. And then there's a bunch of other things. Yes, there's lettuce and cheese.
You're just making these stats up, right?
But they have to be.
Think rice how much is probably up there cheap. I don't think chicken is the cheapest.
I mean, if you're gonna talk about like it's got to be cheaper than beef. It's got to be cheaper than fish. Definitely cheaper than fish.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time thinking about
this. I worked at a chicken kitchen.
I'm not angry. I'm very impressed with the fact that they're able to open up a chicken and rice. That's
like poor people food.
Yeah, there's a lot of side dishes. But here's the thing: when I worked there, you had to make all those sauces, the curry and the salsa and all that stuff. Yeah. You had to sit in the back and make it. And I eat there still, but when I go in there, I smell. It smells to me like when I remember taking the trash out there, which was just like curry trash. Like, I don't know.
If you could combine two words, what I imagine. Right. Curry trash has got to be the worst.
What I imagine, like Indian baby's diaper smell like. Curry.
Curry is not one of those things that smells good, when it's fresh.
Even when it's fresh,
quote unquote.
And it's just clear bags of the curry, and I just remember that smell. So I still eat there because it's cheap and it's. It's relatively healthy, but
unless you put curry on it.
Yeah, unless you put curry.
There's some people they go a little overboard. That's like it's curry soup with rice in it.
And now they have it in the dispenser. It's like and just like so.
You think they still make it by hand? You think they still make it, or is it already franchised? Where
I don't know. I worked in the one in South Miami, which is right next to Gardner's Market, and I worked there because at some point my mom was like, "Oh, you gotta get a job this summer." I was 14 or 15. I thought she was kidding, but then she wasn't. I remember we were eating dinner, me and my grandma, and she's like, "Yeah, we're not going to give you any more money, like for allowance." And I was like, "Which was good." I mean, it turns out to be a good thing because I have friends that didn't have to get jobs, and they, are still struggling. But I worked there, and I got to bring home a lot of chicken. It was me and the Haitian dude in the back. Whatever neighborhood that Haitian guy lived in, they don't like chicken anymore. I guarantee you, because he just brought. Whole chickens up, but that
you see what I mean? You think they're gonna give away? If it was filet mignon, you think Forrest and the Haitian dude would be taking filet mignon?
Well, they can't sell whole chicken. They can't sell whole chicken. It's on the grill. It's gonna look all shriveled up, and you can see it. But then I went to Gardner's Market right next door, and that stunk too as a bag boy. And I tried to get fired from there. I would just mislabel the prices, and I would just sit in the back and do it. Yeah. But I worked in a frame shop. I did a lot of science stuff after that. Though I did.
Weren't you? This is we read an article. Oh, I did. On the New Times.
They did a nice
write-up of Forrest,
just
because
I didn't read the Hobbit doesn't mean I didn't do the... I didn't
Nary read the cover of the article, and that's all he's... Yeah. No, but they did this nice write-up for you. Is it true that you were a marine biologist? That was not bullshit?
I didn't know that about you.
I read that, and I was like, what the fuck?
Until last October.
What a weird thing to make up, man.
Well, October 2010 was when I started doing comedy full-time. Before that, I worked... for the county as a marine biologist for the 12 years.
That sounds like too important a job for you to
12
have.
12 years.
I was also a marine biologist.
That's what
I meant.
My degree is in environmental science. And then when I got out of college, I worked at a dolphin swim facility in the Keys that were friends of our families.
Where you get to swim with the dolphins and shit?
You swim with them, but I did a lot of the education part, like talking to people before they went. You know, just dumping them water with a dolphin. Like, hey, I hope everything works out. You got to talk to them for like an hour.
Don't touch the hole.
Explain to them a little bit of physiology and stuff, yeah. And I did that. I worked for the Audubon Society taking... You remember the field trips? You guys both grew up in...
Yeah.
Remember when you used to go to the field trips to the Everglades?
Yeah.
And there was like the person, like the douchebag that was leading the thing, like, hey kids, come, this is a hammock. And here we and that was me, with I had to wear the like ranger thing.
The
like,
ranger hat?
It was like an outfit. And I was, and these, they were like junior high kids, were like, well, I don't want clean water, who fucking cares? I was like, yeah. Punch you in your face, man! I hate those.
I never got allowed to go to those
just bratty junior high kids
to those field trips. Like anything that was like long distance, like if you go to the Everglades, anything that was like there was one in the Keys. It's gonna be like an overnight field trip,
like a camp thing.
And I was never allowed I was never allowed to go because my teachers would never allow me to do. Like they never wanted to put up with me for more. And this is my rationale now. This is what I'm thinking now as an adult.
What would they tell you?
No, they would tell me because you have to have a certain GPA, and they knew. It's almost as if they were like, whatever GPA Neri has, we're choosing something above that.
What's Neri's GPA?
Yeah, what's Neri's GPA?
2.8. Yeah, you need a 2.9. Sorry.
None of the kids at one of these things were well-behaved.
Well, again, I'm telling you right now.
All they did was you would walk them through this hammock, and I'm just like, why do I have to explain the cycle of fire to these asshole junior high kids? Like, I really, and here's a punk on the fight. None of these kids, there was like one kid that cared, and the rest of them, the guys were just figuring out that they wanted to have sex with the girls, but they didn't really know what that meant, you know, because they were like all 7, 8, 9, and then they would just,
we'd be 7, 8, 9th graders, yeah. Not 7, 8, 9
yeah, yeah,
year
ninth,
olds.
Yeah, sorry, 9th graders. And then you would tell
those
them,
9-year-old kids, guys, man, they go crazy for fucking those guys.
Okay, eat your lunch and make sure you throw everything away because one of the animals, whatever. To get any of the food because they're not used to this food. And there would literally be these crows, I remember, with Skittles in their mouth, like a black crow. And they'd be banging on the bus like, because they were so hopped up on the sugar, and they would feed, and they would see that, it would do that to the bird, and they would just feed these birds Skittles, and they were just like, it was crazy. But there's assholes, all the kids. Great assholes. But and then I became, then I worked for the county for 12 years. As a,
yeah, when I met
that
for...
That sounds like such a serious job.
Me and Oni were at... present at the time that Forrest did his first time on stage ever with the Miami Improv. And he's in the, if you know the Miami Improv, the green room door opens up to the stage, and Forrest is like staring out blankly in the green room, staring out blankly at the door. And then they announce him, and me and Oni are on the couch sitting. We knew comedy at that point, like maybe 6 months prior to that. I don't even know how long, but I remember I looked over at Forrest and I said, is that you? What? And I said, Forrest? And he said, yeah. And I said, dude, they just called your name. And he was like, oh. And he kind of just stood there. You stood there and you just waited for them to, like, he was literally waiting for them to open the door for him. Like, I'm going to be.
Well, no, I wasn't nervous.
You
I
thought,
like,
Neri tells a story that you thought you were the shit. You're like, open the fucking door for me.
No, but he thought that somebody was going to open the door for him.
That's not, I didn't think that's the shit.
But he was just, he was really nervous.
Well, I didn't know. I'd never even been on a stage. I'd never been talking to a microphone. That was my first time ever doing, you know, so I didn't, I was like,
hence
I don't know.
The timid nature now.
Doesn't something else happen here? Like that. But yeah, and I just was, you know.
Doesn't something else happen here?
I'm supposed to get out there.
Well, you guys were talking, like, one of you was sitting in the corner, and then one of you was on the couch, and you're talking across me, too.
Yeah.
So I was already like, hey, I wish these guys would shut up, because I'm trying to remember my jokes that I've memorized. And then I just went out there and stared into the lights, and it was awful.
You were wearing a pink shirt.
It was a
pink polo shirt. It was a pink, I don't know if it was a polo, but it was a pink shirt.
I'm an asshole.
How do you remember shit? Yeah. You remember
I remember, here's the thing. I remember, first of all, I'm not great with names. So I know a lot of people are going to be like, you didn't remember? I'm not great with names, but I remember a lot of, I've never done a joke in my life. This is what happens when you don't do, like, I just
I have
don't.
A good, no, you just,
I really don't.
Look, I've done a lot of drugs. I have a good memory.
Yeah, you're yeah, just, yeah, I'm really, just one, I'm really one of those dudes that could, and that's why, when people ask me, cool. Like, when comics ask me, like, hey, do you write your material down? I'm like, I haven't written a joke down, like, in, it's probably been, like, 3, 4, or 5 years, it's probably about 4 years, is a safe bet to say, because I just tell stories, and I remember the stories that happened to me, so I don't really have to write anything, because I just remember them.
Well, that's a good topic. Well, okay. Writing styles, like, because every time I talk, because let's face it, I'm the rookie in the room. I've not done it as long as you guys have. When I have
I like the fact that you said let's face it as if it was something like
nobody knows who we are on this fucking podcast.
Let's face it.
All right, the time has come for us to address this. I'm newer than you guys,
right?
So your writing style, you say you don't write anything down. Forrest, do you have like a particular way that you like your process of putting shit down on paper, or do you just go off the top of your head?
I write ideas down, and then I usually.
Do you write the whole idea down, or do you write word for word, or you write like when I did write first 3 or 4 years I wrote it was bullet points.
I mean now I keep telling myself that I'm going to write down all my jokes and have them organized
verbatim and tag them and
pretty close
index, and
because once in a while somebody will remind me of an old joke that I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally, and I don't even remember that I even did the joke, and I'm like, oh. And then And I wouldn't do the joke the same way I did. No, I would do it differently. And I've done that now. I've changed jokes. And then I started getting, like, OCD about it. I was like, I gotta write down all my jokes so I remember. So I So the first thing was I went right down the, like, just the title to each joke, which is always crazy anyways, if you've ever seen that. I was just looking at somebody's list the other day, and just if that fell on the floor, it would be like
people would, yeah,
ramblings of a homeless person or something. But
yeah.
But now I usually think of some things, something like an idea or something, and I usually write that down to remember to think about that. And then I just think about it mostly when I'm driving, how I'm going to say it, and then I usually say it.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time driving. Like, most people don't. Yeah. If you're not a comic or dating one, most people don't realize how much driving comics do. Like, it's I bought a car last December and I have 27,000 miles on it.
Yeah, my car is my car's a little over 2 years old and has 63,000 on it.
It's just crazy, man.
And I fly a lot too. So I mean, it's like you travel, but at the
and I work a lot locally. So when I'm imagine
going,
if I
when I'm going to when I'm going to a club, I'll usually now I'll say, okay, it depends. If it's just going to be like an open mic or just four people on bar tonight, I'll just do everything I'm thinking about and I'll just say it. I don't even care. And I do like that at Elwood's, the place where, I mean, they see me every week.
Yeah, so Elwood's is a great little bar that you put together. And that's also mentioned in the
article. I hardly ever do jokes in it. I just keep saying, I thought of it. But if I'm going to do like a paid show or something, I'll still say, okay, this is the new thing I'm working on. And I'll put it in there somewhere, and I'll just keep talking because I work better when I'm talking, anyways. And then I record everything, and then I go back and I record almost everything, and then I listen to it. I'm like, okay, that word made a difference here. And then sometimes I'll write that down on my phone just so I can read that before I go on stage. Like, remember to say this word,
right?
But I don't write the whole thing verbatim.
That's a weird thing because everyone tells you to film yourself, so you get.
Well, you don't have to film it; you can record it.
Like a 5 minute video.
Yeah, but even
if you get a good set, somewhere,
I can barely stand listening to myself. I'm gonna look at myself too.
But they tell you, like, in order for you to get booked, everyone wants to see your video, and it's all about you have to get a good 5 minutes clean.
I don't know what comments are listening to this. Nobody wants to see your video.
Nobody watches.
Nobody.
That's what everybody tells you.
I know, but
that's one of the biggest myths I think ever.
I've never gotten booked from a video ever.
Did you make one at one point?
I've got videos because, let me say, there's a couple times, like, if you're doing private gigs, sometimes they want to see a video. That's just like some dude you're dealing with that just wants to see your bit. And then if you're going to enter a festival or some sort of contest or something
like that.
Or if you're...
For festival,
or
really.
Or way down the line, if you want to get an agent or somebody or manager to... They're going to ask to look at a video. Mm-hmm. But the only time you ever use a video is to enter it in on something or put it on your website or put some video footage, you know?
Yeah, like I don't put any of my stuff up on YouTube, and just recently...
You're going to get booked by performing and then somebody recommending you, the person seeing you, somebody bringing you along. If you want to film it for yourself, I don't think that many people, many club owners or bookers watch videos anymore. I think they used to back in the days. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's before there was...
Before there were camera phones, before everybody had a video camera on their phones, if you had a tape, I'm just talking out of my ass because it makes. But if you had a tape, that means you like took the time to set up a camera.
You should still have something because people will ask you. Yeah. I'm not saying don't just forget about it. You should film, but
I record myself like the voice or audio. I record myself when I go on stage pretty much every time. So this last year has been really tough to do that for me because. You know, number of shit, but I started again recording all my sets, and it's funny because I was listening to, I uploaded it to my new computer, and I heard a clip of me doing a joke probably like 7 years ago, and my wife was here, and my wife was like, I've never heard that joke. I go, neither have I, shut up. Like, I'm here trying to like remember the joke, and I remember it was a joke about about being in line, how parents are in line for, you know, to buy their kids like $500 video game systems. And I said this joke about, like, I never had that. Like, I never, like, my mom, you know, when you ask parents nowadays, like, hey, how come you're buying them for, oh, he deserves it. He did a good job this year. He was a good kid. He got good grades. And I was like, and what? Like, I had to, like, I had a lot of responsibilities growing up because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. So I had to, like, I remember mowing my lawn for, like, 10 years since I was the age
chores,
of 10.
Yeah.
Like, but chores.
Nobody has chores.
No, but, like, chores, like not, like, clean my room chores. I'm talking about, like. Mow. I have a huge lawn, and I would have to mow the lawn, and then I would have to, my mom would work, and like she would make food for restaurants, like, you know, catering.
Is this still
the
joke?
No.
Oh, okay.
I derailed the joke.
I remember that joke, by the way.
He derailed the joke. Anyways, so the joke goes: I never got shit when I was like, I never I never asked my mom. I never had the balls to ask my mom for, like, a, you know,
a big
thing. For a big, you know, $500 gift. Because there was one time where I was like, hey, mom, how come you don't give me
Super Nintendo joke?
Yeah, fuck, man. God, you just damaged. I got derailed by Mike.
It was great.
And I did it, and I heard it last weekend. Performed it at the Miami Improv last week for Christmas week.
Is that how you delivered it?
It crushed. No, I usually don't have two douchebags interrupting me. I usually don't have two douchebags in the middle of the set going, hey, let me ask you a question about what you meaningless point that you just
made. What? You mean like chores?
Nobody does chores anymore. Let's talk about that.
Tell a different
joke.
That joke
is going to be a
And then fucking stage left. Did somebody else?
It's a 15-minute chunk.
Neary's new joke. Three-part segment. A trilogy.
Yeah, no, dude, I was working this weekend, and there was a comic, and he's a local dude, and I don't know his name, and I'm not talking bad about him, so I'm going to tell us. But I don't know his name, but he was doing like trying to get guest spots on the weekend or whatever, and he got a couple guest spots here and there. At the end of the weekend, Sunday, Christmas Day, I'm at the bar, and I'm like finished selling my merch, right? Because I'm a whore, and I sell shit after the show. And I'm wrapping up my merch or whatever, and there's a couple that's complaining about their tab. Now, the dude's complaining. The dude's like, hey, I didn't ask for top shelf liquor. Whatever. Bullshit conversation.
Right.
The chick is drunk, and she's cute. She's like a good-looking chick, but she's not... And she's like babbling on and just like... And talking so much shit about the staff and about the... You know, whatever. And at the end, she just goes... Oh, she turns to her friends, and she's the only one that's been complaining out loud anyways. The only one that's been complaining. And she does, oh, who gives a fuck? Why, let's not even talk about this anymore. And I was like, dude, you're the only one. I'm literally saying this out loud. I'm like, you're the only one talking. She's not paying attention to me because she's drunk. And then she goes, who gives a shit? It's only fucking money. Who gives a fuck about money? And I was like, the fucking dude paying for it, bitch. Like, you're not, you're saying
was
this.
Was he complaining?
Yeah, no, he complained to management, but he wasn't complaining, like, out loud. Like, this is bullshit. Yeah. They're treating me. Yeah. I'm not, she was, like, saying, oh, they're not treating me with respect. And so when I made the comment of, like, when she said, oh, you know, who gives a fuck about money? I made a comment of, the dude who's paying it. It's easy for you to say. The dude, the comic, you know, he started laughing. He goes, oh, man, I got to write that down.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, what? And then he goes, dude, that's fucking funny. I gotta make notes. That's fucking funny. And I asked him, I'm like, are you writing it down to say it on stage? And he's like, yeah, man, that's fucking hilarious. He had no input into the conversation. It was just me.
Who was that? What's his name?
I don't know his name.
White guy?
I really don't know. It was a white guy. I don't know his
name. Kind of nerdy. Does a dancing bit?
Yes.
I don't know if I want to put it out there.
It doesn't matter to me because I wasn't even thinking about doing it. Or let me rephrase that. I didn't have enough time to think about whether or not I wanted to turn that into a bit on stage. But the funny thing to me is I would never, like, we just came up from, like, when me and Forrest, I don't want to get back, like, hey, my day type of bullshit, but...
But you will.
But I never would have thought of that. I would have never thought about listening to a comic.
Well, at a writer's meeting.
Yeah, like, at a writer's meeting.
Around, like, yeah.
At a writer's meeting. But if you had some kind of input, like, I had to have had some kind of input to think, okay, maybe I could talk about that. He had no input. He didn't say a single word. And then afterwards was like, I got to write that down. And I'm like, what? I got kind of thrown off. And I go, are you going to put that on stage? And he's like, yeah. I know. I said, you mean to say that on stage? He goes, yeah, I got to write that down. That's hilarious, dude.
So essentially he was writing a bit for himself based on something that you said in response to a conversation that didn't include him.
Right. And I thought that was weird. I've never even thought of that. Here's the thing. I don't care. Like, I really don't care because it's not going to be like, that's the joke that could have got me, to HBO or whatever. I don't care. And I don't think it's stealing. I just think it's a weird thought process for a young comic to have. It's like, somebody else, if you and Forrest are having a conversation and I have literally not said one single word and you say something funny, I would never think, let me write that down. I would just And he didn't do it maliciously. He literally said it in front of me. Like, oh, I got to write that down.
He just didn't think anything was wrong.
And I just thought that was weird. I was like, oh. Okay.
Well, last night I was having at the show at Red Bar that Ani Issa puts on. We were all outside. We were talking shit, and we were talking about.
That's a good dude, Ani. AWNI.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude. I met him a couple times.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, man. So we're all there. We're hanging on this other comic. Actually, he's a listener of the podcast. This guy named Nelio.
Oh, Nelio Costa. Yeah. That guy's a shit.
He comes up to me. He's like, I heard that. Like, this is. He says, hey, man, I've seen you before. I heard your podcast, and there's this part that I was pissed off about. I'm like, damn, already.
Already.
Fuck. But whatever. So we were talking shit.
And what did he hate about it?
Tell me about the Rick Perry. Like, we're talking about, Ron Paul or something like that.
Oh, fuck that.
All yeah, right. Some, some political politics shit. All right, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was when Mike and Oni took over the podcast, and I was just sitting back fucking trying to find porn on my phone. Like, I have no... I gave three flying shits about this.
It was me and Oni talking, and you're heavy breathing.
Yeah. Go ahead. Fucking Noam Chomsky. Yeah. Let's talk about him.
Yeah, I don't
Oni
know.
Oni loves Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, I don't know. He was just talking about something.
Oni was Noam Chomsky sucks.
Tens of listeners right now.
Yeah.
No, but we were out there, and we... The thing was that we were, you know, it got into that, I'm going to one-up everybody. Like, everybody takes turn trying to one-up in the conversation. So, eventually, someone got a, like, there was
AKA
a
AKA conversation with comics.
Yeah, it really does turn into non-fucking stuff. And he said something, and he said, I was talking about a relationship thing, and I made, like, a reference to, like, it's like a hostage negotiation for pussy. And he was like, "Oh yeah," and then he's like, he didn't say he was gonna write it down, but he's like, "Oh yeah, that'll be a funny bit." And I'm like, "Fuck, man! Now, do I do it, or is it a bit for me or for him? Like, well, how clear?"
We've had those conversations. Like, me and Oni, we had conversations where I'll be like, "Are you doing that?" Like, we'll literally say, "Are you doing that?" And I'm like, "Nah, man, that's fine."
Yeah, but that's you and Oni.
Yeah, but that's two comics.
It's different. Yeah, but it's
friends.
But,
you guys are yeah, friends. Yeah, comics.
I mean, we how many writers' meetings did we do? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like you still have that mentality together. We are like. Yeah, that's why I just say, just don't say funny shit around comics and just be a dick.
All right, those,
you're doing a great job. It's fantastic
dick,
work.
Being a dick
I'm still
works
angry
for you.
At that whole story, by the way, about the woman in the story. Just seeing
just
that.
So like, pissed that, off about that.
Yeah, because I
what woman man, in the story?
The woman that's like
who gives a shit about money?
That's
man.
Complaining
oh,
at the
yes,
bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The same woman that is there at the Miami Improv or the Fort Lauderdale Improv every fucking weekend. At the bar,
yeah.
Bitching. There's always a woman there, and there's a dude that's only even.
And
yeah,
he
wasn't
even
doing it because she already is like.
He wasn't even bitching. He was wondering like why it was like. I heard
and
him.
Then she's
he was like talking to manager like
just,
why is it so much? And the manager was like, oh, because you got top shelf liquor, you got a Grey Goose, and he was like, oh, okay. Like he literally let it go that quickly.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I've been treated with disrespect. I come here all the time, and I was like. She was cute. She was a good-looking chick, but she wasn't like... And then it's like, even if
it's
you were smoking look, hot, like, shut the fuck
but
up.
That's what happens, man. That entitlement is there.
Stupid.
They're the... Look. All right. The women, when they get drunk, most of them suck.
I hear him trying not to, so many times before that statement
look,
he was just
okay,
trying to find ways
look,
where
many,
he could
many
say
week,
something and his girlfriend won't get
how
mad
many,
at
how many
like,
weekends a year do you work at a comedy club
a
you
lot,
know
yeah.
And yeah. Seriously that's all you need to do you see them because it's always that they'll try to run out of their bills you wouldn't even think that like the classiest nicest one walks in she
yeah.
Has a couple Red Bulls and vodka she's like let's get out of here. They'll yell at people. There was a club that I was at one time. It made me so happy. There was this girl with three other girls, and they were at this comedy club. And they won the whole show was a good show. I don't even remember what it was on. It was a good show. It was funny. The things were going great. The crowd was into it, and they just wanted to be like bring the tension to them. So they were fucking with the wait staff. Then they were throwing food. Then they decided, fries at the waist. Then they were talking shit, and they basically got escorted out to the front. They were just going to walk out on the tab, and there was a cop there, and just happened to be a cop there, and I was like, you can't walk out on the tab. And this girl started yelling at him, telling him, like, his piece of shit, and then she started poking him in the chest.
Nice.
The cop? The guys,
well,
yeah.
Assault.
And then he grabbed her, this delicate, grabbed her and handcuffed her against the bar, and her whole face... It was one of the, I was on the other side of the bar and it was one of the happiest times. I was like, fucking bitch. And the other two girls were like, we got money. They got money. I'm telling you. Yeah. They were like, we'll pay. Whatever. And then they handcuffed her and put her in the cop car and took her and booked her.
Right.
I was so happy. Because most of the time they just get like that shit where they tell their boyfriend, go take this shit. And then they're like, go, it's only money. Like it's, I'm not trying to woman bash her because it's going to sound like I am. But I feel like. In general, that like when you, I've seen enough, have enough incidences to see that. I'm not saying it's all obviously. If there's a show, there's 150 women there, but when there's certain kinds when they drink, it's the entitlement thing. Yeah.
When I used to,
and it's a lot of people have bits. I mean, Bill Burr's got a whole bit on that about that. You know, you can't hit them. So, but that's you know, I'm not even going there with that. But I'm just saying, and this might even touch close to home for you too. And I mean, you know, if, I don't know if she listens to your podcast, but. Your wife, but you know, the pregnant women really bother me right now too. And look, I'm unmarried, I don't have kids, so I'm gonna be honest. But they don't bother me like in general, like fuck pregnant women. But And I'm not saying she was like this, but there was a lot of entitled
pregnant women. There's a lot of disclaimers before.
A lot of entitled
pregnant women. He's about to say something.
A lot of entitled pregnant women. And this happened months ago, and it still bothers me. I was at the post office, and this pregnant lady butt in front of me. I was sitting there just writing something. I'm in that long line.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just comes and gets right in front of me. And she's just on the phone. And I was just like, motherfucker.
And you can't say anything. You can't yell at a pregnant woman.
I want to be like, hey, fatty, get it. Like, what am I going to say to her? Like, I'm already... And I just, I stared at the back of her head, like, I was hoping I could make her head explode or something like that, but it's just, here's the thing about pregnant women is, look, I'm not saying that I won't hold the door open for you, if I see it, because I would hold the door open for somebody that, a dude that wasn't pregnant or a guy, but it's like, I didn't fuck you, and I didn't get you pregnant.
I didn't do this to you.
I didn't make you pregnant, so I don't feel like I have to be like, hey, do you need my seat and stuff? That just find that guy that impregnated you, and he's got to be nice to you. I don't think that we need to be nice to you.
I think that
I'm not going to be mean to you.
I wouldn't be mean to you. I'm just saying.
I think that she was just a bitch, regardless of whether she was pregnant or not. But my wife was pregnant, and she didn't do that because she wasn't bitchy before she got pregnant. She wasn't that kind of bitch.
Last night at the movies, there was this lady with a stroller, and the baby, I don't know, it was like maybe like a year old or something like that, and she was pushing it, and I'm on the right side walking like in this hallway to get to... And she comes in on that side, like I have nowhere to go, and she just keeps pushing the stroller at me, and
expecting
like,
you to move.
Yeah, and then like hit me in the stroller, and I looked at her, and she was like, "Ben." I'm like, I didn't fuck you. I didn't give you this kid. Like, I have to care about this kid now. Like, I'm not saying I'm gonna kick the stroller and punch the kid in the head.
Yeah, you thought about it.
No, I'm not.
Clearly, you thought about it.
I'm just like, you're not better than me because you have a kid, and that. So.
Well, first of all, fuck you for bringing a kid to the movies. I'm sorry. That bothers me. The shit.
Why do you look at me as if?
Because you have a new baby.
Because I have a newborn, but I'm not. That's what I'm saying. You look at me as if I did it, and like you got like, oh, I don't want to say this in a fan area. I don't know if I agree. I told my wife the same thing. I'm like,
I would never take a kid to the fucking movies, especially Mission Impossible.
Way and a pregnant lady on, like I wouldn't give her the seat just because I think the guy that fucked her should give her the seat there.
But the guy who fucked her is not there.
He's not there.
Well, tough. Then she shouldn't be out without him.
She should be out with your fucking baby daddy. That's where you should go and only go out with him.
If an animal's pregnant, come on. All right.
I don't know. I'm just
if a wolf is pregnant.
Do you see the fucking male wolf?
Are they getting is the wolf giving up his seat for that wolf? You ever seen a wolf sit in a chair? That'd be awesome.
It's hilarious.
We should live like wolves. Yeah. We should live like wolves.
I don't know. I just think that's just a bitchy woman who just happens to be pregnant.
There's a lot of disclaimers, but I felt like the last 10 minutes it was pretty anti. And my mom raised me by herself, and if I'm sure that we're going to post, hey, Four Sons Podcast, I told her I was on the way over to do this. I was talking to her on the way over. So I'm sure I'm going to get chastised for this. Like, I'm not trying to be anti-woman. I'm just...
anti-drunk woman.
Anti-drunk woman.
You're anti-entitlement, is what you are.
Yeah, and well, I guess because living in Miami, but it's all over the road. I'm telling you,
everywhere.
I sell a shirt after a show, and a guy never comes up like, so you gonna give me a shirt? Never says that.
The guy would never ask.
Every show, come on, give me like. What do you mean? Come on,
blow me.
Not even. I don't even want.
It's like there's so many times. Yeah. I had one chick say to me after a show. She goes, "Hey, I want to buy two shirts." I'm like, "Great, what size?" And she goes, "Do I get some kind of deal? Because it's two shirts." And you know, to make a cheesy like comic selling a merch joke, I was like, "Eh." One for 20, if you get two, I'll give you one for 40, you get the other one free. Like, I'm trying to make, like, light of the situation by telling her I'm not going to give you.
Right.
And she was like, and then she laughed, and then she's like, no. She's like, no, seriously. And I go, no, it's $20 for a shirt. And then she said, she just saw me, like, she came up to me at the end of the night when I already had packed up my shit. She saw me sell, like, I sold, like, 9-10 shirts, which is not like, oh my God, I sold 1,000 shirts, but it's like, there was nine people that bought a shirt at $20, and they never complained. Like, what you think that people,
what
you
makes came you
up
special,
to me at
right?
the, she came to me at the end, when everybody was already, had already left, I'm already packing up my shit, and she thinks that because she's gonna catch me at the end, and she's like, so for real, you're not, and I said, no, I can't, I'm sorry, love you though, and she goes, you don't love me, and I go, well, I love the fact that you want to buy a shirt.
Yeah, see, already.
I was like, I love the fact that you want to buy a shirt and you want to support, I appreciate that, but no, am I in love with you? No, I'm not in love with you, but I'm not giving you a fucking
the equivalent
deal.
Of a guy coming up and be like, hey, give me a shirt, and then when you sit down, oh, you're a fucking dick, and that's never happened.
That's never happened.
And I was at this crappy gig at some bar or somewhere, whatever, and I was selling my shirt. By the way, if anyone's not a comic listening to this, I don't want to be selling shirts. I don't think any comic wants to be selling anything after the show. it's already awkward enough to just be out there like, hey, but I'm only selling shirts because I need to make more money because I'm not getting paid enough at the level I'm at right now.
Like, people don't understand that.
Don't make it more awkward by being like, what, $20? But so I'm standing there already like, just like, sheepishly like, and my shirt sells well, but I'm still feel bad. I'm always like, it's $20. I'm a horrible salesman. And this lady comes up to me, and she's like,
I'm a whore.
I'm the owner's girlfriend, so you're going to give me a free shirt? And I was like, whoa. Oh, the owner that's making me pay for my drinks? You can go fuck yourself, right? I didn't say that, but I have to pay for my drinks here. I'm going to give you a free t-shirt.
I didn't say that because I wanted to get booked again, but I was like, no, I can't do that.
I did.
And here's the thing. I've given the few free shirts I've given away have been to like club managers who've offered to pay. You know, they do that. No, I'll pay. Yeah. No, for real, I'll pay. And I'm like, dude, I'm not taking your money. That's fine. Don't worry about it. But I can't.
Book me. Yeah, you know, like, instead of paying for me, book me another weekend.
Well, no, I mean, I don't have, but they, that's what I just have, well, I get booked already, but I'm just, the fact that women, you're absolutely right. Women are the only ones. And she got mad. Like I found myself telling this girl, like, no, my wife, counts all the shirts. She packs a suitcase. And she counts it. And then when I come home, I gotta come home. Which is a total lie.
I guess you're being like a really unbelievable. Exactly.
It's a total lie. I pack my merch myself. My wife doesn't do any inventory. I do all that. She never asked me like how much money did you sell. She goes, hey, how was the show? Was it fun? So and I find myself in the middle of the lie, telling myself, you're lying to this bitch for no fucking reason. Why? And I said, you know what? I'm not selling you.
You should have made up like a crazy big lie. Like, oh, the t-shirt company I work for keeps really tight books.
No, but it's like, I found myself going like, I don't need to fucking, you know, sit here and explain myself to you.
Yeah, but you want to be, you're still nice to the...
It's harder for
you
me.
You want to just be like, get the fuck.
Yeah, yeah. It's harder for
me. Maybe if you just spend money on the lipstick used, you're going to be ugly anyways. That would have been $20. You should have just given me that money.
Jesus Christ.
I just can't. I don't know.
That used to happen when I worked security. I used to love women. Yeah, well, I used to work security.
Here's the thing, though. You were raised by a single... Your mom, you know, you were raised by a single woman. And I know one of your very first jokes were about how she taught you how to shave or whatever.
She didn't teach me how to shave. That's right,
but that was joke. I fucking prefaced
that. No, but that's what I said in the joke.
I know. Yeah. But she didn't teach you how to shave. You tell the joke.
Is this going
to
take as long as when you were explaining your
joke? I'll try not to interrupt like a douche.
No, I will.
That was my first joke that ever worked, like, consistently. You know, like, you have jokes at work.
That was
and
your
then
closer?
No, I don't even have a closer now, but the... you know, you when you first write jokes, you're just like, oh, that joke worked. And you're like, yeah. And then it doesn't work 4 times. And it works 1 time in a weird place because it's like some sort of reunion tour for some weird people. You know, and then but that one worked. And it was just about how my mom raised me as a single mom. And then.
Is this a joke? Is this part of the joke still?
Yeah.
You see, doesn't it sound fucked up? It was somebody saying
no, that. But I was actually explaining how you, when you first tell jokes. I wasn't like, I got a big lawn. And I've got a big lawn. You kept saying big lawn 5 times. I was like, we got it. You have a big lawn.
I don't think people understand what a big
lawn
is.
Big lawn golf course in Orlando.
Just live on the back of a sugar cane field or whatever stereotype I want to go for. But yeah. So the
Forrest is why I'm Hispanic.
It was basically my mom raised me by herself. She was a single mom. She never taught me how to shave my face, but my legs were always smooth and blah, blah, blah. Pete's sitting down until I was 18. Went on from there.
So
and then I went to a great
so
nuts,
you don't hate women. You just hate entitled bitchy women.
Drunk. Well, the.
Nah, I mean, I was. Yeah, my mom raised me by herself, and.
But you know what happens?
I date women.
I like them. They're all right.
No, but like when I used to work security, there was always the worst problem was not like thug dudes or anything like that. It was always drunk, pretty white girls that would start fight. They would always be like the one girl that starts the fight where she would flirt with another dude, so her boyfriend would get mad, or. But basically what would happen is that they would be psychologically drunk before they were physically drunk. Like they would have a drink in their hand and suddenly they can do whatever the fuck they want and they pretend to be way more drunk than they were. And like you said, when shit got serious with that girl that got handcuffed, it's great because then all of a sudden she realized the act, because it's a lot of it's show. You know, some girls get fucked up and then they're just fucked up like everybody else. But the beginning part of it is always show, is always act. And then so when it finally hits them and she sobered up on the fucking handcuffs, you know?
They rarely get handcuffed, though. They rarely get handcuffed.
They rarely, because they're because she kept they're hot,
poking
them.
I was like, yeah, keep poking them. And then
if that girl would have been ugly, it would have been different.
Would have slammed right out of the face.
Yeah, it would have been way harder. Right,
yeah, because I don't know. I find I don't know. Is it wrong that just ugly chicks don't really? They don't have the confidence to pull that shit off. They don't have the confidence to act entitled. I mean, don't. No.
Nah, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say that.
I've seen some pretty entitled, ugly chicks.
Yes, but in relation to how many pretty. And I don't mean gorgeous drop dead. I mean, like, you know, some kind
pretty of... Pretty girls get asked out more.
Yeah.
So, you guys throw out a lot of stats that you have nothing to back up here.
No, that's why we do this shit on this podcast.
First of all, chicken's the cheapest food in the world.
Chicken and rice has to be one of the...
Rice, yes. Rice. Okay. I will put rice in there.
Chicken and rice.
Chicken is a meat. It is not... But if you're going to make... It's not even the third tier of cheapest food.
First of all, if you're... But if you're going to make a restaurant, you have to have a meat. If you're going to make a restaurant, there has to be some kind of meat in there. Not just...
So the cheapest meat is what I'm talking about.
Well, that's why I put rice and chicken. Those are the two. If you're going to make a fucking restaurant, yes.
Have you ever been to Taco Bell before? The beef is cheaper than the chicken. How's that happen?
That's technical beef.
Yeah, that's not... I mean, that's beef and it's pure. That's beef and it's a very literal definition.
That's a restaurant
definition.
That makes a lot of money.
They make a lot of money from the drunk girls after the fucking comedy shows.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't whatever ratio you've broken down and whatever pie chart you have, I think ugly, good looking women, whatever.
Just now I'm thinking about
it runs the myriad of women from zeros to tens. As long as they're drunk and they're after a comedy show and they feel like they, I'm just going by the ones I see there.
Granted, we're doing comedy, you're exposed to a lot more drunk girls that feel the need to say shit. Have you been heckled by drunk? It's usually women, right? They get that.
Yeah, guys heckle you too. I get heckled all the time.
No, see, here's the thing. Guys, as far as heckling, guys, I think would, there goes back to this, the number thing. I think guys tend to heckle more because they want to prove to the chick, because it's a very threatening thing when, and this is drunk, stupid, insecure dudes. This is not every dude, but this is drunk, stupid, insecure dudes. When a dude is on stage making your chick laugh, the dude goes, no, I want to prove that I could be funny too.
Oh, and man, they prove really? I never even thought about
they
it that.
They
want
to prove that they could be, they don't want, it's a very,
that's part of it.
There's some part of it.
I'll tell you what, I get heckled. When I used to go to John Martin's and do Freddy's from there, I'd always go on last and I would just berate somebody. I would just usually go after whoever was going after the comics. I would just sit in the back.
I'd watch whoever was
heckling, and then I would just go after them. And there was only one time when the person couldn't handle it, and they complained to management, and they got a letter. They wrote a letter, and they were the biggest assholes ever, actually. They were, like, yelling out and stopping the show, you know. But almost every single show after that, whoever I was just going after, I would be drinking with afterwards. Like, he would be like, But the guy, only even the guys that are heckling, they're trying to be funny and stuff. You get off stage and they're like, "Hey,
I was helping."
But not even that. They'll be like, they'll at least be like, "Oh, I know you said a lot of shit and you actually put me in my place, but let's have a drink, whatever." The women hecklers don't do that
because
they're
that's
the ones
guys,
that keep going.
Oh, yeah.
They will never They'll never high five you. They're never gonna be like, "Hey, that was great when you made fun of my tits." That's how guys are though.
Guys, when you get into a fist fight, you remember in school when you get into a fist fight, and then your best that brings you closer together as dudes. You're like, we fucking.
I fought a dude in like freshman year. By senior year, we were like,
you guys still leave me down anti women this whole time.
Yeah.
Here's the thing: my mom is very technical. Actually, she's got Apple everything. She's been listening to this. Does your mom listen to the podcast?
My mom has never heard a set. She's never heard me. If I were able to, she's never heard my set. She's never seen me perform.
My mom has seen a lot, but she's very tech savvy. She'll be sitting here on her iPad and she'll be taking notes, and then I'm gonna get like
If I could find a way to transfer this and translate this into Spanish, then my mom would definitely be on this shit. But other than that, I just got my mom her first touchscreen phone. And she's like loving it and hating it at the same time.
Right? I wish that's
how. Did she push the screen harder to?
No. She shouldn't even be talking. Like, why am I even talking? Like, I shouldn't. I'm 40. Why am I just not my mom's gonna. Anyways, let's talk about some good things about women.
Tits. What? I'm sorry.
You just like broke character when you say you're like tits.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
I got nothing. She gave
these
me a
pregnant
child.
Women.
I love my wife, but she gave me a child.
Well, we're just starting back, getting back to
Are you going to have another kid?
I want to, yeah, yeah. I've been, even before...
He's been trying real hard to get a pregnant.
Even before we had our first, I always... Because I come from a big family, I'm the youngest of four, from my mom and my dad, and then my dad before my mom, with three other women, had five other kids. And so I come from a large family. Not that I ever know those people, because literally they could be walking in the street. I would not know who the fuck they are. Like my half brothers, I would not.
What is, everyone always says I come from a large family, so I'm gonna have a lot of kids. Why?
But it's fun. It was just I can't imagine. No, I'm not saying you didn't, but you. Yeah. But see, here's the thing: you grew up an only child. You grew up an only child, and you don't really want kids, right? That's your thing. You don't really want kids because you're like, all right, for whatever reason it is. But when you have a lot of kids, and not to get into this whole, oh, I'm Hispanic, and Hispanic people do this, and white people do that bullshit. But I just come from a big family, and I know, like, I see my niece. My niece is 8 years old, and she's the only child. And I see the way she acts. Like, she's lonely. She needs a fucking person. She needs a friend. She needs a sibling. And I don't mean lonely in the sense of, I mean lonely in the sense of, like, what? She doesn't have friend. Like, she talks to her mom, my sister. Like, about, like, what's going on in school. And I know a lot of things that she would not say if there were siblings. Like, that's something that's... Because I grew up with two brothers and a sister, that's where I would just talk to, you know?
You need, like...
So I told my wife, you know, and my wife knows this, and she knew this. But I want... In my mind, and I hope it goes this way, my wife's not so keen and not so happy about it, but I want to get pregnant again next November, which would make my daughter one. And then, so if she gets pregnant when my daughter turns one, she'll have a baby 9 months later, and that would be, you know, 20 months or whatever from the separation. And
that's a lot of math.
I don't know. Yeah. But
do you have a grid?
You have kids?
Like, you
are
have
you married?
Huh? No.
Mike
you have kids?
Almost proposed once, and he got dumped.
Do you
want to
have kids?
Proposed.
Oh God, yeah. Thanks, man. The I would. Yeah. Of course. My thing is now I'm 30, so.
Why, of course, I mean. Were you an only child?
No, I have a brother. I have a brother, and then I have my dad.
First of all, just, you know, people that were only children have kids.
No, yeah.
It's not like you. If you're an only child, you can't have kids.
Well, I mean, I have my older brother, and then
they tie your tubes.
Well, I have a friend of mine. He didn't want to have kids. He got a vasectomy at 20. No, he has like three brothers and like two stepdads, and then my friend got a vasectomy at like 21. Like, and yeah.
What?
Yeah.
It's reversible.
First of all, it's not that easy. Like, people always say that. Like, oh, it's reversible. Yes, it is, but it's not like...
It's the most reversible surgery in the world. Okay. I'm just going to talk in absolutes.
It's not.
So you just clap your hands 20 times.
Surgery.
It's
the cheapest surgery that there is.
The cheapest of surgeries.
As far as surgery.
Rice and vasectomies.
Well, I just, you know, I know, but
I do want kids.
I didn't say I don't want kids. I just don't have kids.
You know, you've told me you don't want kids. You've told me before, and this is maybe change in the
sometimes.
Yeah.
You're entitled to think.
Yeah,
my,
yeah.
Because right now, like,
but
you've
told me
kids?
Like, oh,
maybe
I don't want
not.
Kids. I'm just not that kind of person. I've never been. You're like, I don't see myself having kids. Like, maybe it's different now because your situation is different. Maybe you're, you know, in your relationship that you're in now or whatever. But
yeah, I don't do that.
I remember years ago.
Just older. Just yeah. Like, yeah. Maybe I should have a kid.
My problem is now that I'm 30 and a lot of the. I'm 30 and a lot of the girls I date. Like, already have kids, or they have to be a little younger than me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what I want really, like,
at some point we're gonna have to stop having kids. Just so you guys know that.
Yeah.
Not in our lifetime, but
on the Earth,
there's 7 billion people on the planet. Yeah. You guys know that?
On the Earth.
Yeah. Then it just happened the other day.
Neri wants a bunch of kids to tend his farm once everything goes down. He wants to have a big clan.
I don't understand. But I don't want to have 4 kids. I don't want to have 7 kids. I just want to have another. You asked me about, do you want another one? Yeah, I have one.
I'm just saying.
I want her to have a fucking friend.
I do. Look, I have my older brother, and he's cool as shit. He just had a baby, and he's got the dad gene, like, unlocked. Like, he's a really good dad. Like, they're good parents. You know, like, they just have that in them. Some people are just not meant to have fucking kids, and they got like 7. You know, so it's, you know, like, those. Yeah. That's the thing. So my brother's got. Good. My brother's got the dad gene. Like, he's a solid man. Awesome. I Heisman'd his baby. I Heisman'd my niece, and he got fucking pissed. He's like, no, it's dangerous. But I'm like, whatever, man. He's a fucking, you know, little kid.
That seems like a little bit of a worry wart.
Well,
he is an old term.
She was. Well,
just
because
you Heisman'd the baby?
I didn't spike the baby.
Don't make eye contact with him.
Don't touch my baby. Well, yeah. He's like, wash your hands. No, but he's like, I would do that. Like, I feel like I would be good with the whole process of, you meet a girl, you go through the steps, you know, you have a relationship, you get married, and then you have the kid. Like that, like all those classic fucking steps. I would be for that.
Yeah,
like,
but here's the thing is we want to have kids. Sex feels really good.
Yes,
because you're supposed to reproduce.
Right.
Is that why it feels really good?
Of course.
Really?
That's part of the
Bible. That's the first
commandment. No. I'm saying that. That's why it's been made to feel really good because you're like, I want to keep doing this
biologically. I thought you meant inside, like as a dude is banging his chick from behind, doggy style. He's like,
Every time you have sex, it's because you want to have a kid.
Biological incentive to keep fucking so that you make.
But that's because you're supposed to be keeping, you know, biologically, you're supposed to be keeping your.
So why do I keep punching you in the stomach afterwards? I'm kidding.
Supposed to be keeping your species alive, and
you upset yourself with your own comment.
Yeah, no, what happens is that joke doesn't work because I just talked about having a kid and wanting another one, so that joke really... And why they keep punching you in the stomach is like, no, you just said that you want another kid, so asshole. It's a fake joke, I know.
Can you really cause an abortion by punching someone in the stomach?
Yeah.
Can you? I don't know, medical student.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you can.
First of all, you'd have to aim for it, just so you know.
If you aim for the belly, you could hurt the kid. Yeah. That's not. It's not pleasant. You know, like you should not punch pregnant women in the belly, no matter how rude they are, and cut you in line at the post office.
Forrest's like, God damn.
I'm not gonna punch in the belly. But
that floor is slippery when I put water there.
So we. But we're at 7 billion people.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's too many.
But there's still some.
Only because of technology are we able to be at 7 billion. We should have collapsed a long time ago as far as, you know, water, food sources, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's going to collapse at some point. I mean, we can't sustain it. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I know everyone's like, oh, it seems fine now, but it really isn't that. I mean, you know, but so at some point...
They're just blow up like a country that has a huge... You know, population.
Yeah, let's start a war with.
I can't.
That's what you would say when you're five.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Blow up a country.
That's exactly what I was saying.
And we get their wells.
I'm like, if you just kill all the Chinese, that's
what
a
country. Are you?
That's 2 billion people that we could make room for right there.
But then, if you think about it,
get rid of Chinese and then no more.
You know, all the countries Apple, that we could blow up iPads, without causing a big ruckus. Don't have a lot of water and food, just so you know. Like, the countries that got shit are new.
But they have a lot of people.
Like, what country?
I don't know. I'm just getting. No, you see, but India, we need tech support. We need fucking.
India?
I don't know. Like,
I don't know if you know that's pretty poor country. Whatever, you get fresh water from India? Yeah. Like, we need more water.
Again, I'm repeating a mentality that I had when I was like in eighth grade and somebody goes, hey. Where, you know, the world's population is coming in on 4 billion.
I've played Risk before. I know how this works.
We're going to start. Let's take over Somalia.
Forrest loves Risk.
But we got to do game night. I think that would be fun.
Take over Somalia. Get all their natural resources. They got all those burning tires. Can't get enough
burning tires.
It's going to collapse at some point. But, I mean, I don't know. We're not going to be alone. So, probably. I mean, there's already major problems, obviously.
Well, didn't they already find a planet called Earth 2? That they already found a planet
that has... Earth 2, but they don't really know. They don't even know. They know that it's in the range.
Not in our solar system, right?
Yeah, no, it's in a...
We can't even go to the fucking moon without the oxygen shit going out. We can go to fucking some other solar system.
Man, you're such a negative Nally.
I think we should aim something at it. I think we should shoot something over there.
Shoot something at Earth too?
Yeah, why not? Like something that'll send information about it. Send a probe out or something.
Okay. Like a plastic army guy.
Totally should fucking do that.
Technologically.
No, but like they don't even know.
Usually, when you shoot something at somebody else, they're not like, "Hey, this might be friendly." That's not a good thing to shoot.
It's a friendly cannonball flying my direction.
Let's wait and see. It might just pop out confetti and candy.
I just picture this other civilization with their finger on a button going like, what are we doing? I don't know, we're waiting to shot something at us, we're waiting to see what happens.
Just so you know, don't hang out with Mike. He probably has a gun on him. That's how he greets you. He's like, well, I shot him.
I shot at him, and then
just to be friendly, just to be like,
depending on what he did, and I was gonna see
it was a barbecue next door. I wanted to see how it was going on, so I got my gun. I just shot the dude in the face, and that didn't turn out too good. So,
guns and bullets. Yeah. That's another thing. But the Earth 2, whatever. There's a bunch of them out there. There's a lot. There's a bunch of them in.
First of all, I don't think it's called Earth 2.
It's not. It's Kepler or whatever it is.
But they're calling it.
But they don't even know if it's solid.
In layman's terms.
They don't even know if it's solid or not. Like, if it's... It could be like...
Mike,
like,
Mike, you're taking this way too literal. I just...
Man, I'm a huge nerd and you're talking about science.
Man. I don't know. I really wasn't talking about science. He was talking about overpopulation. I said, well, there's an Earth too. I just threw that out there to just be so kind know, of funny. I was trying to be funny.
High-speed internet been around 5 years and you think you're going to go to another planet and relocate there and move?
No. Yeah, that Wi-Fi signal's going to suck. That Wi-Fi signal on Earth advanced, too is going to be like, shit.
And yeah, let's get really everybody.
The news, those news broadcasts where like there's the delay between the reporter. I fucking hate that. Does that drive you crazy? Where all of a sudden they're like, "So tell us about it," and then it's quiet and they're just staring at the camera with like.
And they're kind of looking down at the screen at the monitor.
Like, and they're like, "Well, it's been going on for quite a while." Yeah, I can't say we can't get past that little delay. I fucking hate that.
I don't want to go to Earth doing this, but it's the same shit.
We'll be dead first.
Okay,
we'll be dead. By the time we deplete this Earth, Earth One. I'm 30. I just turned 30 this year, right?
God, and you're 30.
I'm 32. 30 also.
I've been thinking a lot about, not about dying, but now, like, I can see how when you get older, like, at this point, why you start thinking about dying more.
I don't know. I was.
Dude, I work in a hospital, man. That shit.
Yeah, no, but I started thinking, I'm not thinking, like, hey, I'm going to die soon, but I've thought about mortality a lot more now.
Yeah.
And so I get, like, the religion thing. I'm not religious. So I'm not going to be. But I get it, like, why people would be, because it is kind of scary when you start thinking about it, like, oh, okay. Because you don't want to just, you know.
Again, I find myself in a room with two atheists. I don't know how that happens.
Look,
again,
man, it's...
It was with Oni and Mike last time.
You're very religious.
I'm not I hate the phrase very religious. Do I have my faith? Yeah, I have my faith. Do I believe in my faith? Yes, I believe in my faith.
Yeah, but you can't... I feel like if you're gonna believe in God in heaven, you believe in heaven... Hell?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're going to believe in all that, then you need to...
That's the fact that he's like, you believe in heaven? Do you believe in heaven? Yeah, I believe
in heaven. Yeah, well then, I feel like you need to be more committed to it then.
More committed than what? Like, did I curse? What did I do
Let's say heaven exists, right?
Okay.
And hell exists.
Okay.
Let's say that exists. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty intense.
Okay.
If that existed.
Okay.
And God and Jesus and whatever, he's going to come back and do some shit. But I don't know a lot about religion. But
I heard that he's going to do something. If something comes back and then
he's got
fire.
Heaven. He's got heaven and earth.
But here's the thing is I feel like if you knew this goes back. We're talking about this. I don't even know if this was recorded that. You were talking about stopping smoking.
Yeah.
And you're going to stop smoking as soon as something bad happens.
Exactly.
And Neri was like, well, why wouldn't you just stop now?
Yeah,
like, if you knew heaven existed, you should be in church every day. Like, I hope I'm going to heaven.
Well, it's not about...
If I thought heaven existed, I would be like, oh, man, I'd really be getting on it now. I wouldn't wait till last minute.
Here's the problem. I'm not waiting for last minute. I don't go... I have a problem.
You're locked in the heaven?
I am. I'm locked in. I really believe that. I really believe that I'm locked in.
What?
And
he has a timeshare. Oh,
man. Because we're going to get into this whole thing. And this is my problem. This is why I don't... commit to this conversation with comics, because you guys are gonna not to say that it's an argument, not to say that it's a winner or loser, but it's like you guys are gonna hit me with so much, like, here's
I'm
the
not
thing.
Telling you wrong. No,
I'll be honest, I'm not saying
you're wrong.
Look, if you want to get real, the reason I know I'm locked in, the reason I believe I'm locked in is because I believe in my God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is going to come back and save. So I believe in that. And
you can't even say that whole sentence.
But I can't. Yeah. I don't want to say it because with you guys, because it's one of those things where I feel these judgmental, especially from Mike.
I'm quietly judging.
But you're judging, and it's just like one of those things. Look, okay.
But I'm sorry that you got that. I wasn't saying you're wrong. That's not what I was saying.
I don't think anybody is wrong for having their belief.
I wasn't saying you're wrong. I was saying...
I think your beliefs are wrong.
If that's your belief system and that's your faith, then that's fine. But you should be more committed to it.
But no, here's the thing.
You should be a deacon.
I'm saying be more committed to it. Because
what's being more committed to? How? You mean like go to church? See, that's the problem that I have. That's my problem.
You should be T-bowing on stage.
That's my problem. I pray before I go on show. Before I go on stage, I pray.
I pray.
I say thank you for giving me a chance to you know make people laugh and bless the show and bless the audience.
Awesome.
I pray before a show. I pray before pretty much every show.
Okay.
Every once in a while when I'm running late and like they're calling my name up as I'm like
buttoning
my shirt. I'm like. I'm committed to it. I don't go around parading it. I don't know, and that's the thing. This is where my problem comes in. It's because when I was a kid and I was in youth group, And, which, by the way, I went to youth group voluntarily. Like
I grew up
my
in
parents,
church.
Like I grew up, I grew up in a Catholic church. My parents, they put me in CCD classes, and I did my first communion and stuff. But for a long time, we didn't go to church. Nobody did. Nobody in the family.
You on Easter
and then
Christmas.
And then when That's I was it. 15 years old, my best friend who used to live two doors down from me, he took me to the church around the corner, and I got involved in it on my own. Like as a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, I chose it. My parents
but
didn't
you go
follow
to
me. And here's the thing: there was a lot of like I learned that there was a lot of political things that go on, like back, you know, behind the scenes. Like it's just a lot of crookedness, and it's like they got rid of the pastor and because they didn't like him because the council.
But do you go to church?
Here's the thing: because of that, that's kind of tarnished my view on the establishment of church, not the religion and not the faith, just the establishment. It just bothers me. That kind of whole bothered me.
But here, like okay, you know, but.
I don't think
I don't go to church. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make me Christian.
I'm not
one of those guys that's like, well, I go to church on Christmas and Thanksgiving. And I don't, because if the institution of church bothers me throughout the whole year,
Well, right? I won't judge you.
I still think the religion is such a big thing that you, okay.
It's just a faith, man.
Yeah,
it's
but it's.
Believing in something that's greater than you. Believing in something. Believing that there is something.
But if it's a faith you believe in, it's everything. And I think that if you are one of those people that just goes to church on the holidays, or you just say, oh, I believe in God, but then you don't live your life that way. I'm not saying you don't, but if you don't, then, and at the very end of your life, you're like, hey, I'm going to go to heaven. Like, it's kind of like writing a term paper. Remember when you were in college, you wrote the term paper the night before? Philosophy, well, I got it.
I'll take a B.
I feel like that's what it's like. You're writing the term paper right before you die. You're just like, hey.
I'm going to take.
No, I get that. I understand that. I understand where your mentality is coming from. And I understand that mentality about those people. But I'm not like that. I'm not that dude. Here's the problem. Like, I'm not Tim Tebow. And I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm not that dude that's carrying around a Bible and is going to push my beliefs on you. If you want to have an honest conversation, but every time I've had a conversation with a comic who's an atheist, usually only, it turns out being like this whole like your religion is dumb. And I'm like, all right, dude, I get it. You don't believe
in
it.
I know.
I'm not saying you did. Right. So I'm saying that's been my experience. So that's hence why I don't. Talk about this with other comics
the only things that I think, like you just said, like the framework of what religion is supposed to be about, how you live your life, and that, like, I think that just some of the stories.
I believe in being nice.
Need to be updated, okay? Like, that's what I'm just saying. Like,
well, I will support that idea of before he goes on stage or whatever, he feels the need to call upon this higher.
I never go, hey, God, please don't let me bomb. And please let that joke where I talk about my wife not blowing me, please let that go over. Like, I don't wish, like, it's like I equate it to like a pitcher on a mound. I never go, hey, let me strike this guy out, Lord. I go, hey, thank you for letting me do this. Like, that's where I'm like,
I think that's a real positive thing. Like, I don't think enough people do that, like, as an atheist. Like, you don't think about that to yourself, because essentially you're basically reminding yourself of the good thing that you have. Which is to be able to get up in front of fucking people and make them laugh. You know, that's a big deal. Not everybody does that. I mean,
yeah, that's huge for me. Like,
that's
a very
big deal.
I get,
and you remind
I get made
yourself
fun
of
because I posted on Twitter and I get made fun of by Oni.
Your Christmas
and by,
post.
Yes, my Christmas post.
I didn't say anything.
But yes, you did.
What was it?
I said it without saying it.
I missed it.
He said it without saying it.
What did you
this
say?
This is what I said, and this is what I tweeted. I said, this is the first year. I said, this was last weekend, Christmas weekend, and I said, I said, first Christmas as a dad, first Christmas as a husband, and I've had incredible audiences at the improv that I was performing at the improv that weekend.
Right, right, right.
And I said, you know, best weekend ever. And I put hashtag truly blessed. That's the hashtag.
Oh,
and
I didn't see that. Yeah.
So then I put that, and then Oni and Forrest.
That's
and
fine.
They started. They start. No, you didn't say anything.
I like
you
that.
Didn't
that's
reply
that's
to
cute.
Me. But here's what he did. This is what Oni did, and I caught him on it. He would put other things like, hey, so-and-so got beat up, whatever, blah, 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 hashtag blessed. Like, and he was just like totally mocking me. And I texted him.
Blessed?
No, not you. I'm talking about Oni. But there was a couple of things where you put, I forgot what you did, but anyway, so then I texted Oni and I put, are you in Forrest hashtagging blessed to mock me? And he was like, yes, we are. Like,
I
he's
didn't,
like,
I,
like
I,
not
I
you.
At all.
No, I just thought, and so I was like,
I didn't do anything.
I'm so whatever.
I just like that's a big deal for me. Like, the fact that I'm able to perform, and the fact that I'm able to make a living by making other people laugh. Like, that idea is bananas to me. That's like, awesome. I'm 8 years in, and I love what I do, and I believe that people enjoy me doing what I do.
The only tweet I did anything close to that was, and it was 4 days. It was like right around Christmas. And
it was actually Christmas Day.
I put, as Christmas draws near, there is one thing for certain: people suck. I put that. And then I got chastised by someone saying, you don't really believe that. And I said, only some of the time. And then I said, okay, how about this instead? Overall, I think people are kind and great. Just through and through awesome. And I put, no, that doesn't seem right either. And nothing about blessed.
Did you put a hashtag on blessed? Did you put
no.
a hashtag
on
blessed?
I thought I saw that.
You were going to make fun of me. But you actually put, Neri sucks. Retweet that. Can you please retweet that? He tweeted me. He goes, Neri sucks.
Oh, that
please
was just
retweet.
For fun. Yeah.
Of course it's for fun. I never sat there and go, Forrest and I have been friends for
years.
No.
You know what that one was? You know what it was? You retweet a lot, like when people say, hey, I saw you, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Good job. So I saw that and I was like, oh, I'm going to put something in there. Neri, you stink. Please retweet.
Please retweet.
And then I put God bless, but I didn't put it. I just put it because to be nice,
there
not
you
to
go.
Mock you, though.
See, God bless. That's what I thought. It's just coincidental.
Now you're just being defensive.
Yeah. No, but it really was.
I did it just to be even over, like, just be like, hey, God bless. You suck.
See, I wish I could get labeled.
I'm sorry, okay.
I wish I could get labeled what I am. It's a positive atheist. Like, I'm cool with all. Like, hey, that's fucking great that you do all that shit, that you write Truly Blessed. And I think it's great that Forrest and Oni make fun of you for it. Like,
I think it's funny when they make fun of you. You know, you got, again, it goes within context. I've known these guys, you know, you know, years and years. You know, we go, you know, we're actual real friends, not just some douchebag that's like, you know, hey,
come record a podcast with me.
Yeah, it would be a little weird if some random dude was like, hey, I talked to you once. Yeah, let me make fun of you. Like, nah.
That's different.
I have a lot of, and I don't know, I'm a positive dude. I just like positivity. I like,
I know. I'm telling you, I saw your Christmas tweet, and I was like,
you wanted to make fun of me.
I wouldn't have tweeted that. And no, I didn't want to make fun of you, but I was just like, I wouldn't make fun of that.
Not
tweet.
That one.
Because I felt like, but
because it was nice.
You know, I fucking know when you said bringing the haha. That is stupid.
My hashtag is I do a hashtag. Here's a
bringing the haha.
Bringing the haha
sounds like what a retarded kid would say. He was going to an open mic.
Bringing the haha.
So whenever I see you write that, I'm just like,
I hope they bring the haha.
But I didn't bring the funny.
I
wanted to do a hashtag. I wanted to do a hashtag that hadn't been done before. Which, by the way, if you listen to the first podcast, the hashtag LTTP. Apparently, it's been taken by some dude named Diddy, because his last album was called Last Train to Paris, and that's his hashtag is LTTP.
P. Diddy.
Yeah, P. Diddy. Have you heard about this guy?
Well, I know, but you said Diddy, and I was like, maybe there was just some other guy.
Have you heard about this guy? Diddy?
He's been
Puff
around.
Puff Daddy,
he's
P. Diddy, whatever. Sean Combs. So I had to change the hashtag. So the hashtag now to the podcast, and by the way, if you have any questions that you want to, you know, people, you know, hashtag LTTPP, and the second P was for podcast, obviously.
Just tweet us.
Why did you get contacted by the?
No,
people?
I just want to have my own. I just want to have my own fucking hashtag. I want to have a hashtag that when I'm reading through it, and if people are listening, and if they, you know, tweet questions and put the hashtag, I don't want to like cipher through 98,000. P. Diddy tweets, and then that one tweet that's meant for me, type of shit.
That many people.
Or you could just
hashtagging Last Train to Paris.
I'm telling you, they're really. Yeah, I was like, holy shit! And like recently, like that album came out a year ago, and it's still like it wasn't even good.
The album
was called Last Train to Paris. It wasn't even good. I downloaded it illegally, and I don't mind saying that because I deleted it the moment I heard. I go, I'm not. I don't even want to keep it illegally. I don't want to keep this shit. It's taking up space. I only have 3 terabytes left. I don't want this shit.
That guy, P. Diddy's in a movie with Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Oh.
God
damn it.
Actually, Diddy did. Fuck. He was
pulled it together.
No, he was really funny in that movie. Did you see that movie?
Where he's fucking
that
in brain.
Fucking movie was really funny. That
Jonah Hill
was
the same guy. Like, oh,
no,
fuck,
that
no,
part,
no,
that
God,
part,
yeah.
Diddy's part was really funny. Fuck that. He was hilarious.
Imagine if everything rests on Jonah Hill my whole career, and here's his podcast. Jonah
what is
Hill
he,
and
like,
his pregnant wife.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. That guy punches pregnant women in the stomach in the post office.
The door open for me.
Anyways, so, I don't know. I just like being a positive dude and I have my faith. And
well,
I just think
look.
It's kind of...
If you have any comments, just at Neri Signs...
Yeah.
On Twitter. Just send him a message. Send him something.
I don't know.
All right, fuck it. Let's promote before
it's at Nary Science. It's for my for me. You can find my website is whatwashisname.com.
Are you sure there's an at in before it?
No. At okay. Nary Science okay. is the Twitter.
But there's an at before it?
The at symbol. Now you don't put AT.
You have you an at spell symbol it out. Before yours?
You have an at symbol before
mine. I don't have one of those.
You have a... And Forrest is a douchebag... condescending fuck.
Pregnant puncher.
That's way too many
characters. Pregnant puncher. They
wouldn't even give you that one.
Dude, he tried. He didn't want to give it to him.
Add pregnant woman hater.
That's, what is it? At Forrest, it's Forrest underscore Shaw.
I've also got an at symbol.
Yeah, but did you put the underscore in between?
It is.
Because the other guy took it?
Yeah. No, there's some guy. There's some guy, Forrest Shaw. And you can
are you friends with him?
No.
You should follow him, I guess.
There's some guy, and he has Forshaw, and he's just like some guy. He's not doing anything with his life like this. He's not doing a podcast.
He's not doing a podcast in a closet. That's on a Wednesday night.
Let's take a Forshaw. Mine is Forrest, with two R's, underscore Shaw. My website is forestshaw.net, and you can spell Forrest with one or two R's together. And there's a Twitter thing on there, too. But, yeah, here. There, this guy, Forrest Shaw, that has it, he's 48 followers. He's a fan of Garbage Day, Helmets, Salt Lake City, Utah. I don't know who he is.
He's probably a Mormon.
Oh, no, you know what? He is doing something. Talking shit.
He
has a radio show called The Left Show.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what that means.
There you go.
Maybe I should contact him.
Follow each Forrest Shaw individually.
But I'm Forrest underscore
Shaw. It's always weird. I've had people, like, even in the days of MySpace, I would have people contact me that had my same last name. And they're not family.
No, no.
And it's just...
I just someone at a job that has the same last name.
And then they're not family. And then they would just... But they would contact me and they would, like, you know, send me friend requests. Strictly on the premise that we both have the same last name. And then they would send me these things. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? I would be so confused. Because I would be like, are we family?
Yeah.
Because like, you're Hispanic. And when we're Hispanic, you could be family.
My last name is pretty weird, too. Like, my last name, Mercadal. There's not a lot of that. Like, I don't think there's only anyone in Miami with that.
Really? Have you never Googled that shit? In the old days, you never yellow pages?
Yeah. There's like one other dude here in Miami, but I think he moved, and then they're like with the name. And then like some guy in New Orleans that's friend with me. But that happened because of Facebook, where you go through the same last name. There's like a fucking million Mercadals in the Philippines. All little tiny Asian people with my last name.
Well, it's not tiny Asian people. You're just 8 feet tall, Mike. They're 6 feet, but they just look like tiny,
tiny
Asian people.
They're
because
tiny.
Of course they're tiny.
I'm just
trying
to make
the tiniest of the countries.
Statistic, you're going to just want to say that fact.
It's the most tiny.
It's the tiniest. This is the cheapest.
It's one of those countries that we should bomb and take their resources.
It's the tiniest of all. Have you seen Pacquiao? The guy's like tall as your doorknob.
Yeah. Oh, fuck you up.
He punches hard, though.
Well, I'm not saying I didn't say I could beat him up.
Just say
tiny.
He's going to get it. Forrest would get his ass kicked by a tiny man. Filipino man.
I think Pacquiao can beat up almost everyone on the planet, except for like a small percentage of very large.
But isn't that crazy? Like, if you saw Pacquiao and he wasn't, you know, if he didn't have, you know,
like if he wasn't wearing boxing gloves.
Yeah, if he wasn't wearing boxing gloves and you saw him at the improv and let's say he was drunk and he was like just pushing you, wouldn't you think, I'm gonna fuck this kid up?
Yeah.
Because this kid's like 5 feet, he's 5'5", right? Something like that. And you think, I don't know, this guy is drunk. Listen, man, I don't want to hurt you. You would literally say that too. I could just picture, like, I'm not even a violent dude. I hate...
You would get halfway through that sentence, he throws a right hook.
Yeah, he just throws a right hook, knocks me into next week and go, what the fuck happened? Ugh. I'm sorry.
What if you caught him and locked him out? That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. If you knock out Mayweather in a bar fight one day, and then
you know what? I'm going to try. Mayweather has to be from now on, whatever. If I do a comedy show and I see a famous boxer, I'm going to intentionally get in a fight with him. Just because if I knock out one of them, that's my credit right there.
I once knocked out Manny Pacquiao. This guy knocked out
Manny Pacquiao. Everyone will come to see, and then they'll be like, that fat piece of shit knocked that way. Well, it's on the video. I got it on my website. Looped.
You need a shtick.
It's an animated gif of it, just constantly repeating.
And I wouldn't even have to tell Joe. I could just go up there and just eat. I would just get fatter and fatter, so I'd just be like, and they'd be like, fucking tub of the heart. And then it's like, roll the clip.
That'll be your closer. People will be like, show the video. You'll be like, calm down, fuckers. It's a closer.
You could get on Conan. You could get on everything if you knocked out Manny Pacquiao.
You
can do the whole tour. That guy wins the Indy 500. No one gives a shit about that. He goes on all that stuff. You knocked out Pacquiao, you're on there. That's what I'm going to do. Where does Pacquiao live?
Where's in the Philippines. In the Philippines? Oh no, wait.
Yeah, he's like he's like a senator. He's like a
some
senator,
sort of con- like a, know, a public official.
Whatever they have in that cheap ass small tiny country over there.
The tiniest they, country.
Yeah, he's the king of the something.
We're gonna. Are you gonna end it? I don't know.
Where are we at?
Why are you miming? Why are you miming like?
Because I don't want to fucking talk about Mike. We did 3 hours with just, Oni, and did. I got chastised for posting it up.
Well, you got chastised for posting it up at the same time.
The continuity. Again, I think it was a good move.
Last week we didn't post anything. It was mainly because of the holidays.
You had to sit through the 3 hours.
It was mainly because of the holidays, and I tried to get Forrest in here last week. I tried to get Dave Williamson, which he's gonna, you know, he said that he's gonna do or whatever. So I tried to get a bunch of people. But because of the holidays, we couldn't. That would have been a nice time to release episode 2 of the Oni Chronicles, you know, and then we would have been
set. Chronicles.
But I don't know. We talked about that. He has that fucking blog. The what, the Chronicles? Oh, yeah, the Oni Chronicles.
He also
Oni
sleeps on the floor.
He's like chronically.
It's very bohemian.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, so, I mean, I guess, well, how much time will we done?
I don't know. Recorded a word of this.
We're at an hour and 34, so it's actually a good time. It's a good time to end it.
Manny Pacquiao, if you're listening to this,
watch out. Forrest Shaw's about to beat the shit out of you at some random comedy club.
Bring it, bitch.
Bring it, buddy.
Be drunk and let him
be
punch
drunk.
You.
Just be like piece really of shit. Wasted.
Yeah,
Filipino.
Yeah,
whatever.
That guy is a
tweet
shit.
At Forrest underscore.
Just both of them.
Oni's girlfriend.
I say, you know what's funny? I said
is he
both
got a wife?
Of them.
He's married, right?
I said both of them condescending.
No, Pacquiao.
Yeah,
I'm gonna knock his pregnant wife. I'm gonna punch his pregnant wife.
You better hope I don't see her at a post office. Yes. You better hope.
I'm gonna knock out Pacquiao and his wife.
And that's the way we're gonna end the show. We're gonna say we're gonna beat women. And minorities. And
thank you, Forrest, for coming, man.
Thank you, Forrest, for hanging out with us. @Forrest_Shaw
And ForrestShaw.net. I got a new website.
Is it?
You got a new one? It's all fancy. Yeah. I paid somebody.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, awesome. I had made one myself, and it was nice, and I liked it. But it was all Flash animation because that's the only thing you can do for free.
Yeah.
And well, no, if you have an Apple, you just have a template.
Yeah, but that one, my first one was okay. But you can't look at Flash on pretty much the devices that everybody owns now.
Right.
So I used some of my T-shirt money.
You should talk to Oni about that.
And I used some of my T-shirt money, and
You got a web guy. You got a Google webmaster.
I gotta start sending the T-shirts on my website. I just haven't posted the.
To be honest. I don't know. I know you sell a lot of T-shirts. I do very well with my T-shirts. I'm not trying to go.
Right.
But I've sold 2 T-shirts on my website in 7 months.
I've had 7 people in the last.
They say it.
No, 7 people in the last month email me, hey, I went to your website, and I said, well, you can pay me in PayPal, and I'll mail it, and they send me the money in PayPal.
Then you're better than
but that was 7 people in 7. The last month. Yeah, 7. It's not like, people are listening to this being like, wow, 7 fucking, who gives a shit about 7? But when you're a comic, times 20, you're like, no, that's an extra, no.
Did you know some guy tried to eat my T-shirt?
Did you know that?
The guy
was
being arrested? At the improv, I heard about that. There's some dude who's being arrested.
I'll tell you real quick.
This is a great story.
This is like bonus track.
Saying it, my shirt says eat babies. Well, big surprise.
His next one's going to say punch a pregnant bitch in the stomach.
I don't think that one would sell as much.
It's a maternity shirt. It's for pregnant women, and it's got a target right on
the belly. I did at one point think of making a baby shirt to put on babies that say thank you for not eating me, but I just never did it.
That's hilarious.
People would buy that.
I'll make it for you.
No, I have the design. It's unprinted them.
I'll buy one for my baby.
Okay. Thank you for not eating me. There's
2 sold. Yeah, it's 2 sold right there.
So it says eat babies, and I was on a little round table right by the doors of the Miami Improv, and there was this kid that was in the crowd by himself. He was kind of like hipster looking, like very young, and he was into the show, but he was kind of weird too and stuff. And when the headliner was on too, he was being even more weird and just kind of out there. And so I'm there, I'm getting this little shirt, and I just hear behind me, he's like, you know me, and he's shaking the hand of John Wynn, who's the MC. He's shaking John Wynn's hand. John Wynn's like, I don't know you. And he's trying to be polite about it. And the guy's like, you know who I am. And this cop comes over and like kind of separates him. He's like, hey, you have to pay your bill still. And the guy just puts out his arms. He's like, you will not be able to contain my force. He has like his hands out.
He literally said that.
You will not be able to contain my force. And so then I'm already like, oh, this guy's on something. Well, I mean, I'm thinking psychological, but I mean, high is the easy thing. But nobody knows, you know. And the cop was giving him a lot of leeway because he was like, and he goes... He goes, give me the bill. He's like, oh, we'll do this one. And he was being very mouthy with himself, and the cop was giving him a lot of leeway. And then the cop said something that angered him. I didn't hear what it was, but he just started, like, vibrating the guy, and he goes, shaking. What did you say to me? What did you...
Just know? Charging up his
he's
power.
Like, yeah, and he's like, you don't say that to me. Like, it was, like, very aggressive.
Did he do the Hulk
finish? I don't know what it was, yeah.
The Hulk Mania. He's doing Randy Macho Man.
But the Hulk, it was when the Hulk was shake. The Hulk.
No, that was the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, right, the Ultimate Warrior.
He's vibrating with rage. And so... this is when it's about to go down, so I back away from my table where I have the t-shirt spread out, and the cop grabs him because he's like almost like physical, and then this guy was so enraged that, and this kid was like probably 5'7", skinny little hipster looking kid. This cop was jacked up and he was having trouble.
This cop was a cop.
He was but he was like 6'3", built, you know, dude. And he was having trouble containing it. Like, he was just trying to get a hold of him. And the kid goes over and, like, grabs the table where my shirt is and is holding on the table. And then I don't know if he just saw it say, eat babies. he just grabbed the shirt and shoved it in his mouth, but furiously, and just started taking giant bites and getting it more in his mouth. I always equate it to in Red Dragon when Liam Neeson gets the artwork and just eats it, you know, if you ever seen it, where he just shoves it in his mouth and he was like...
Forcing it into his body.
Like, half of a medium shirt is disappeared into the kid's mouth. Wow. And the cop finally gets him and they slam him outside with the... Like, they put him down on the ground to cuff him and get him in the car. And with the t-shirt still in his mouth, I right when he was shoving his mouth, I was like, that's $20! I yelled that out.
Yeah.
And then I went... They gave me the t-shirt back and there's bite mark. That's on my Twitter. There's, like, if you scroll down somewhere, you'll see there's... There's this bite marks are circled on there.
Forrest _ Shaw.
Tweet that back at me and we'll do and
the,
post the show.
And the, like the, this is how unimpressed people are in this world. So, like, there's people that want to buy my shirt. They're lined up. And I walk back after this kid's trying to eat my shirt. He's obviously, something's going on with him. And there's just a guy standing there with $20 and he's like, so can I get a medium black? And I'm like, can we just process what happened right now? I got bite marks on the shirt. I was he was like, I've got to get going. He's like, yeah, like he couldn't have been more bored with the whole thing. I was like,
after that scene, I got to get the fuck out of here.
What's happening? Another guy's trying to eat some dude's t-shirt.
Yeah,
oh,
seen that
God.
One. Yeah.
They told me that story this past weekend. I was at the improv and they, it's funny because some dude came out and he was like, in the showroom talking and during the headliner came out, he came out and talked to the guy in the door. Like, I had asked him to be quiet. He came out and he goes, hey man, you got a problem with me? But like, he just stepped up to him. Like, it was like, shit was about to go down.
Same dude? No.
And then, so that guy at the door, we're all laughing at the door while the headliner's on stage. We're all just talking amongst ourselves. The dude comes up from the showroom and he's a big dude. And he came out like, yo man, is there a problem? You got a problem with me? And we kind of like, everybody's like, what the hell? Like, the doorman, I feel bad because he got thrown off because he was like, he's a bouncer. So what they do. But he got thrown off because we were having a good time laughing about shit. Right. Something totally unrelated. So I see this happening. There's another bouncer that's coming behind me, stepping up. I look to my right at the bar. I see Clyde Gordon, one of the other comics. And I see one of the servers that is off duty. They start walking towards the door, like, ball ready, you know what I mean? Like, if anything's gonna happen, they're, you know. I swear to you, I found myself walking backwards, going like, hey, you guys got this, right? Like, I totally
this is not
out.
My job.
Like, it's not my thing. I'm a comic through and through, and I'm not, like, a comic.
You pulled out the camera phone. Yeah, I'm gonna record this.
I'm not even a comic that
happens.
Could fight. Like, there's a lot of comics that could actually fight,
Joe
and I'm
Rogan
not.
Or
yeah, Joe Rogan. And there's a lot of comics that Ben Bailey has been known to, like, you know, go, throw down. But I'm like, I was just that dude, and I'm not saying I'm like, oh my God, please don't hurt me. But I was just like, hey, you guys got this. I was literally backing away. Like, I didn't turn my back to them, but I was like, I'm watching the other comic, the MC, and an off-duty waiter go and help their friend. And I'm like, hey, I know I just made you laugh, but I'm walking away from it. You guys got this.
You should have just...
But I made fun of myself for it. Like, I brought it to everybody's attention. I'm like, you saw me walking away. Yeah, when everything got settled, I brought it up, so...
And then you prayed for them, and then
I made them feel good. Because I don't believe in violence. I don't believe in, you know...
No, man, of course, you don't...
So, anyways, but thank you very much, Forrest, for hanging out. And that is at Forrest_Shaw, ForrestShaw.net, and Mike Mercadal, Mike Mercadal. Nary Signs, this has been a Late to the Party podcast. Hashtag it LTTPP. Thank you.
Fuck Pacquiao.
Bye. Fuck you, Pacquiao.
Yes, look out, Manny Pacquiao. Forrest is out there looking for you. Thank you so much for listening to Late to the Party. Stay tuned for updates and be sure to follow us on Twitter and check us out on Facebook, Nary Signs and Mike Mercadal. And we'll see you next week on Late to the Party! Or something else, the name might change.